You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up? You know that feeling that the whole country is like one inch away from saying, that's it, forget it? You think about it, everything's polluted. The environment, the government, the schools, you name it. Speaking of schools, I was walking the Howard Halls the other day and I asked myself, is there life after high school? Because I can't face tomorrow, let alone a whole year of this shit. Yeah, you got it, folks. It's me again with a little attitude for all you out here in white bread land. All you nice people living in the middle of America, the beautiful. Let's see, we're on 92 FM tonight, and it feels like a nice clean little band so far. No one else is using it, and the price is right. And yes, folks, you guessed it. Tonight, I'm as horny as a 10-bow, so stay tuned because this is a hard Harry reminding you to eat your cereal with a fork and do your homework in the dark.
And now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, it is. I forgot how cool that intro is. Oh, Sarah, who picked that one, by the way. I completely choked. I came this morning armed with nothing. Armed with a one-way ticket to nowhere. And so I came in, and I was afraid we're going to have to do the Bill Pullman thing again. But Sarah, with, and it was like within 30 seconds she had it.
Well done.
Fantastic. All right. Hello. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is Wednesday, my friends, and welcome to Day 12. If you'd like to be part of today's program, here's how you do it. It's 503-733-2970. With your comments, your clarifications, your confessions, your what have you. 503-733-2970. Scotty J is ably standing by to screen your calls and to pass them along unhesitatingly. 503-733-2970 is our telephone number today. If you'd like to email us, why, it's just as simple. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. .com. You can also email everybody else. Scotty J at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, or Sarah with an H at 970.am. And our big greeting to everybody listening to us on the podcast and the almost live stream. We should take a moment here. Well, probably more than a moment. Just a quick recap here. So if you're listening to, there are several ways to listen to this program. You can either listen to us right here on the radio. There have also been, over the last couple of years, a lot of listener-done podcasts. I don't want to say like bootleg podcasts, which is sort of unofficial podcasts that enterprising audience members have put together. They've just sort of bootstrapped it and been broadcasting the show that way, which is fantastic. And we salute you. Because we didn't really have the wherewithal to be doing it for a while. And there's just people who listen to us in far-flung locales. You get people in Montana or Seamus was in Colorado. We have that. I haven't checked it forever just because I've just been so preoccupied with other stuff. But there's that Google map that shows that whole Emerson Army, you know, the map that where people could check in from wherever it is they listen. I mean, it's like every state in the union. And we got guys who listen to us in Germany and Iraq and whatever. And it's not all about the glory of us, but just saying that the people all over the world who maybe are from here or have had the word spread to them who aren't able to get the radio signal, so they listen online. So we had all these listeners who were doing these sort of homemade podcasts, which is great. And then we started doing the one at 970.am, and there were some issues to be dealt with the official station podcast. A, that all the files were like 700 megabytes. It just took like 3 days to download one of the segments. And there was no processing on it. And I touched on this the other day when I said that if you listened for a long time, if you were listening to the 970.am podcast, there was no processing. And processing is the means by which all of the sound is normalized or evened out or is just sort of leveled. Which means that if something real quiet was happening and you turned your headphones up and then something real loud happened, it would just deafen you. It would just blow the cochlea right out of your head. So I think that has been taken care of. So the listener podcasts are still out there, and we heartily commend those folks for doing that. But the station podcast, I think we sort of smoothed out a lot of the difficulties that we've been having there. So anyway, so greetings and salutations and so forth and whatnot. It's 503-733-2 970 if you'd like to join us today, or Rick at rickemerson.com, 503-733-2970. Christian Slater there as what is his real name? What is that guy's real? What is his character's real name? Because he calls himself Hard Harry, but what is his real?
I don't know.
Mark. His name is Mark something or other. Because what's his name? That hot school teacher who clearly has some weird teacher student crush on him refers to him as Mark something or other. And then there's the whole subplot because his dad is like the new superintendent of schools or whatever in town. And then there's that weird reform school girl's principal who does everything but have a handlebar mustache to twirl while she expels students. It's really a terrible film, but it's great. I mean, it's one of those movies, even at the time when I was like 15, I realized how bad it was on many levels. But there are moments of genius in that film. And it has, what's her name, Samantha Morton? Is that the girl in Pump of the Volume who plays,
I haven't seen this movie in so long.
It's terrible. It's awful. but it is great. It is a vastly entertaining film. It's just, there are whole sections of it that are like photocopied out of every other teen film. It is a movie very much of its time, I'll put it that way. It all of the 1980s, early 1990s cliches for a teen film are there. You know, it's got like the pretty girl, a good-looking guy who are inexplicably cast as the dorky, you know, sort of on the periphery outcast. It's got the principal who just expels students left and right but then gets her comeuppance publicly at the end. It's got a lot of like tearful, you know, speeches about... being isolated, or your parents, or something about how the system is keeping you down. And then, of course, there's the awkward, fumbling teenage sexual experimentation scene. Not unlike the one that Christian Slater has with Winona Ryder in Heathers, where they're having sex on the croquet court or whatever it is. But in Pump Up the Volume, it's where Samantha Morton, who I think is who that girl is, who's in his bedroom, and then the dad comes down. A scene that was then wholesale Xeroxed by Michael Bay for the Transformers film. I'm talking way too much about this.
Yes.
Movie. I'm just saying Pump the Volume is terrible.
Do you think I have a problem if I want to send out a MySpace bulletin to all my friends seeing if anyone has season 3 of Lost because I can't live another day not watching it?
No.
I think I'm going to.
You have my permission. You have carte blanche. Go ahead.
It's all right, Rollers. You know what? I believe that Christian Slater could be the new Bill Pullman for our show.
Who said that? Is that you? Is that your observation, or is that somebody else?
No, that's my observation. No, because there's so
Christian
many Christian
Slater is the new Bill Pullman.
Pink is the new black.
And they're all awful.
Oh, they are all awful. But you know what? He has provided so many horrible movie speeches. I think we could go on, like, this could be Christian Slater week.
Right now. Okay. Let's say Heather's notwithstanding. I'm going to take Heather's out of the running right now. Name a good Christian Slater film.
Gleaming the Cube.
For the win! All right. And match. All right.
He was good in Prince of Thieves.
I'm not talking about a movie he was good in. I'm talking about a good movie in which he was. Talking about a quality film.
Untamed Heart? No, that was a crap movie.
No. No, and Murder in the First doesn't count either. With Kevin Bacon? No, thank you, Scotty. I'm saying a quality film starring Christian Slater. A film that isn't embarrassing or somehow hackneyed or cliched. You can't think of one. Heathers is the only one.
That's
it. It's the only good film he's ever done. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. We got the really Pump the Volume calls? Okay, well, we'll get those here in a few. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up on today's program, kids. We got CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano. Here's the thing about talking to Dick Giuliano. I mean, I don't mind it. The guy's great. He's just so different than all of the other CNN correspondents. Because you get like your Lisa Goddard, your Jim Roop, your Ed McCarthy. You get the feeling that they're very loose, sort of flexible, about half in the bag sometimes. Whereas Dick Giuliano, you know what Dick Giuliano is? He is a straight shot of whiskey in sort of a 2% milk world. That's what Dick Giuliano is. He's from the old school. I would say he is the most old school of all the CNN correspondents, Dick Giuliano. He's just got that straight ahead, unflappable, can't be taken off his path. He's going point A to point Z, and there's no derailing him. He's got that delivery. I dig that guy. And apparently it was no longer figurative. It became literal. They rolled out cots. And people were sleeping. I think it feels like a big publicity stunt, but apparently people were just sleeping. The actual Congress people were spending the night there, including, and I guess Lisa Goddard spent the night there too, which is why we don't have her today. She went home at like 6 a.m. or something. So It does feel very theatrical, and I'm not really sure that it accomplished anything. I heard Joe Lieberman bumping his wrinkled gums about it on the Dennis Miller program this morning. God, could Joe Lieberman be any less... You want to talk about a guy who's not just on it, he's like an energy black hole. He's just the sort of white dwarf from which no energy can escape. It's unbelievably tedious. Well, whatever. Anyway, Steve Kastenbaum's going to join us today. We'll also talk to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy about Michael Vick, who ought to be taken out back and just beaten senseless with something heavy. You want to talk about a guy that just has it coming. Talk about a guy that just... it is amazing that that guy still has a job. And I know that in the world of professional football, the rules are a little different. I know that sometimes untoward behavior is, if not explicitly encouraged, is at least tolerated. But really, you want to talk about a guy who's just crossed the line one too many times now. I mean, it's a really off-putting story, but it really, I know that, it's a big story today, and I know that it does appeal to... a certain segment of our demographic who are sports fans. It appeals to me because it seems like the guy might finally get his, which would be fantastically satisfying. So we'll talk to Ed McCarthy about Michael Vick. What else is he talking about? Is he talking about something else I care about? He's talking about Chris Benoit. Well, I guess I don't think
I told Laura
that.
No. She's like, you don't want to talk about Chris Benoit? I swear.
It's like a Mad Libs with her. You mean
you
don't want to talk about
it? When you walked in, I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
I can tell from your... I can't... When you called a book, yes, with CNN, I can't tell what she's saying, but from your responses, I can always surmise what her general tone is. Because I can hear that sort of tight, brittle politeness in your voice when she's just going on and on and on. Just the words flowing from her like the River Ganges.
She's just so rude. It's really off-putting.
Well, I don't care about Chris, but it's not that I don't care.
And I told her no. I'm like absolutely not. I'm like, we don't want to talk about that freak.
And it's not even that I don't care. I just don't want to talk about it. I mean, I'm kind of done with it. I mean, there have been all kinds of... You can go online. There have been all these hideous, gruesome revelations about the crime scene. And I just, you know, I'm not going to traffic in that. So I'm not going to work red as the... So you can go online and find that out if you want to. Do that when you're not looking for Harry Potter spoilers. What else do we have today? We have a new entrant in the hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. Now, we've had this German guy falling on a plunger that's been number one for the longest time. We now have a challenger. So we will, today, we will commence our hunt for the second worst story ever. We have our second kissing volunteer coming in today. I think Gay Bob is coming in today. I got to get a verification on that. I'm not sure what time he's coming in. But we're gonna look into that. It is at some point today. Let's see, what else do we have here? Mr. Skin at 1:35. Top five coming up today. What else? Well, that's it for now. I don't want to tease anything. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're joined today. We'll get to these calls here in a second. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you?
True Romance.
Oh, True Romance. That's a good film. All right. I can see that.
That was Lisa.
No. I can see True Romance.
I'm so mad I didn't remember that.
Here's the thing about True Romance, though. How do I put this?
Uh-oh.
Now, should I just wait? Should I just file this under things to talk about later? True Romance. All right.
I just watched, you know, I've been obsessed with Lost, so yes. I just watched the first 5 minutes of it on the YouTube.
Oh, they have the first 5 minutes of season three?
Yes.
All right. And I've only seen the last 5 minutes of season three. How's that for synchronicity?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I can't live another day not watching it.
All right.
I think I'm going to ask people.
I think we have somebody here who's going to lend it to you. Or as they say, going to borrow it to you. So we'll talk to them here in just a few. So you're all the way through seasons one and two now?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Would you rank it? Let me ask you this. Where would you rank Lost at this point in terms of programs that you have watched in your life, in terms of compared to the great TV shows you have watched?
It kind of went through a lull at the beginning of season two, and then it peaked so high toward the end. Like, I would compare... I was babbling to one of my friends about this last night. I would compare it almost to Twin Peaks.
Mm, all right.
And I know that's a lot. I love Twin Peaks. Okay. You know I do. I own it on VHS and on DVD. I love the series. I'm not saying Lost is as good as Twin Peaks, but I'm saying it has a lot of the twists and turns, and it's bizarre and makes
sense.
It has the soap opera value as much as it does like the weird kitschiness.
So you're saying that the peaks are good enough to make up for the troughs?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Absolutely, because it's one of those shows that you don't really see what's coming next.
Fair enough. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Dennis Kucinich has food poisoning. He's in the hospital.
Really?
Yeah. The Senate defeats the bill to bring the troops home from the cesspool of Iraq by next spring.
I'm stunned.
An officer is shot.
And the FBI and the SWAT team are called out to a hostage situation still going on in the coup. Squirming larvae are a pull from the head of a local man. A Nigerian puppy scam is sweeping the internet.
A puppy scam.
Mm-hmm. An operation to repair...
It's the cutest of all scams.
It is. Yeah. The bank scam didn't work out, so Nigerian puppies.
How about this rotting corpse flower scam?
An operation to repair a ruptured blood vessel in Steven Tyler's voice box will be highlighted in a documentary.
Oh, that just hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, the squirming larvae story, I might as well just spoil the surprise now. That is the submission for second worst story ever.
Saving it for you.
Thank you. God bless you.
And an Alabama woman is charged with beating and choking a woman for a place in line for the teacup ride at Disney World.
Alabama woman! All right. There you go. And Tim Riley is the Cheeto pusher.
He really is.
This is...
I want everyone to eat Cheetos today.
I don't know why this was, but the guy, Eric, who fills our vending machine, he's a great guy, by the way. But, you know, have you noticed? Look, here's the thing about that guy. He must get a lot of exercise because he carries big boxes of junk food everywhere, and he clearly doesn't get high in his own supply because he's got, like, zero body fat. He's sort of like just a skeleton that's been spray-painted, like, skin-colored. He's just all, like, really, like, muscular and really thin, whatever. And you can tell that it's just because he doesn't eat any of the crap that he sells. So he just carries these huge boxes. And he does this great/terrible thing. Sort of like the guy in the corner who gives you your first vial free. He'll come in and he'll fill the machine in the kitchen. And then he always acts like it sort of caught him by surprise that he's, you know, got a few extra. Why, I seem to have a few extra bags of these cookies. I'll leave them on the table. And then he puts them on the table. And then, of course, it would be because we're radio people and we're pigs and we just descend on them like flies onto a rib roast and just begin to eat them.
Because we may not eat tomorrow. The day's not over yet.
Totally, yes.
I will never let myself starve again.
Forestall against the lean years. I got to build up fat in my hump. And so I go into the kitchen, and Tim is sitting there reading the newspaper. And without even looking at Tim, just goes, have some Cheetos. And I said, what? And he goes, Cheetos, they're free. Have some. And I said, I
don't know. I'm thinking, yes, you do.
I said, I don't know. I don't know if I want those Cheetos. And Tim, again, just looks up, and he arches an eyebrow, and he goes, you want them. Take them now. And I just kind of went, it sounded like a threat somehow. So I was like, okay. So, sure enough, right here. Got a big bag of Cheetos. Let's see how many calories are in this. 350. Yeah, fantastic.
Shove them in your face, Rick.
There is an animated... look at this, the little Cheeto guy in the front. Is this a... Is he a... Oh, he's Chester Cheetah, isn't he? That's the character, Chester Cheetah. He does have both sunglasses and a skateboard, though. So these Cheetos have become much more... Rare. So there you go. If you're a CBS radio employee, there are free Cheetos in the kitchen.
Not anymore.
Oh, are they all gone?
Yeah, Scotty got the last one.
It really is sad. It really is just like on the Serengeti plain when you just see some sort of like a wildebeest there. Just suddenly just creatures, the sky blackens with a swarm of vultures coming down. That really is what radio people are like, not just weekenders. Oh, all right. Don't you wish you could do that? Don't you wish you could kind of store up food like that in a way that's not painful? I mean, that's what body fat is, but it's not really... I mean, if you're lost in the woods or something, your body fat, your body will use fat to sustain itself, but it's still unpleasant. Don't you wish you could just store it in a non-painful way? Like if you just had like a little like bag or something, you could just store your excess food in that you ate. You know what I mean? It would be a lot handier. Here's another thing. Don't you wish you could store up sleep? Wouldn't that be great if you could store up sleep? Like if you could sleep like 15 hours a day on the weekend and then during the week be able to get by in like 2 or 3 hours a night, that'd be fantastic. If I could change one thing about myself, give myself one, not even a superpower, but one ability, it would be the ability to get by in like 2 hours of sleep per night. That'd be fantastic. That would make my life so much better. You can't even imagine. What else? Well, we'll talk to Scotty here in a second as well. Let's just take these calls, which may be about whatever. Why, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson program about Pump Up the Volume.
Yes.
Yes.
I just want to call and say, like, right on that speech, man, I always loved Pump Up the Volume. I don't know why. It just connected with me, like, better than Heather's or anything else. So I was waiting for you to bust out that speech.
Yeah, no, it's a great... That's all Sarah. Sarah totally found that. I had choked. I'd come unequipped with something. I had not. Bam, she was right there with it. So.
Oh, no, seriously, I love that flick. I mean, well, I've never thought Christian Slater was a good actor.
He's always
playing himself, really. I mean...
Well, he's always playing himself, which is playing a guy who grew up standing in front of a mirror pretending he's Jack Nicholson. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, God love him. I mean, he, you know, he found a little niche and he carved it out, and he's famous and I'm not. But, I mean, it's not like he has a tremendously broad range. I mean, that's, they are all kind of just him, I think. But I will say this about Pump Up the Volume, that, and I think her name is Samantha Morton because she was later in The American President. She played Annette Bening's assistant, I think, in The American President, and she's just hot. Sort of a totally like a low-key goth type.
Oh, just so sexy with the body and everything. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I will also say that I did actually like Untamed Heart, but that's probably because Marissa Tomei.
Oh, how can you not know about Marissa Tomei?
That movie's really sad. I did like it.
And you know what? Marissa Tomei is probably busted down enough that I could probably pull her, as they say in Britain. What has she done lately? What is the last thing? I'm not trying to knock her. She won an Oscar that she didn't deserve. But, I mean, what is it? Seriously, my cousin Vinny. What are you talking about? Who wins an Oscar for my cousin Vinny?
After that, I know that she's been in a couple other projects. I can't think of the name now.
So hot.
She has been working a bit.
Marissa Tomei is just scorching hot. Oh, she was in...
I was in a Hanes Her Way commercial.
Really? I think she was in The Bedroom, wasn't she? Wasn't she in The Bedroom with Sally Field? That Todd, what's-his-name film from a couple years ago? That was a great movie.
This is going to break your heart.
What?
I looked at the last thing that she did on IMDb.
Was it a children's movie that went straight to video?
Whoa, close enough. She was in Wild Hogs.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Listen to the guy. He's all sad. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good day.
Listen to that scream of con-like pain from the... No! Marissa Tomei, I believe, was in The Bedroom, which is a taut little psychological thriller that came out a couple years ago with Sally Field and some other guy, and it was sort of this really, really suspenseful Hitchcockian sort of domestic thriller. But she was in that. She was also in The Paper with Michael Keaton, which is one of the most underrated films of the last 20 years. But The Paper is fantastic. Everybody who works in media or broadcasting has probably seen The Paper at some point. It's a Ron Howard film from, like, 91. That's a great movie, and she's even pregnant. She's hot in that movie. Marissa Tomei. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello there,
what's up,
Rick?
Hi.
Hey, the name of the girl is Samantha Mathis. Actually.
Samantha Mathis in Pump Up the Volume. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. And then, she was in The American President. I don't know if she ever did anything else.
She was also with Christian Slater and Broken Arrow.
Oh, really? Is that your Broken Arrow? Wait, that's another terrible film. Broken Arrow, Christian Slater and John Travolta together at last.
Yeah.
What an awful film. Did she look hot in that?
Yeah.
All right. I don't even remember.
Park Ranger.
She played a park ranger? Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's just terrible casting that goes on in this world sometimes. I don't even remember her being in it. That's how bad that movie must have been. That's the one with the stealth, where he steals the stealth jet?
Yeah, he steals the nukes.
All I remember about Broken Arrow is that at the time it was kind of controversial because Travolta was playing against type, because he'd been a good guy for a long time at that point during his comeback, and then he started playing, and then he played a bad guy in Broken Arrow, and it was considered kind of scandalous at the time. And to think that there was a time when we once again started caring about John Travolta is sort of weird. All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem, man.
And let me just say this, by the way. If you are a fan of Samantha Mathis and Pump Up the Volume, a movie you really got to see is a movie called 3 o'clock High. Which is,
you've told me about this movie.
3 o'clock High is so good. So good. I put it up there with Heathers. It's an indie teen film. Came out about the same time. Came out in like 89 or 90. Maybe 88. It's an indie teen film. But very much like Heathers, and it eschews all of the teen cliches. It's very dark. A very black comedy. Steven Spielberg is an uncredited producer on it. But it's a great movie. I don't even know that it's out on DVD, though.
I remember seeing her in a movie when I was really young with River Phoenix and Dermot. What do you say his name?
Dylan McDermott?
Yeah.
Not
and she's a country.
Fight.
No, she's a country music singer.
Oh, I know what you're
Nashville.
Talking about. No, I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was the.
I don't remember the name of it.
A crappy yet good movie.
Let's see here. I'll just get a couple of these. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you, sir?
Good.
What's up?
There is another good Christian Slater movie. I just can't remember the name of it.
Yes.
It's the one where the four or five guys go to Vegas and then they get involved and it's like prostitute where they inadvertently kill a prostitute.
Fans.
Oh, I hate that movie. That makes my skin crawl.
What are you talking about?
It's got uncomfortable.
It's got killing a prostitute, Sarah.
Yeah,
what else do you want from my life?
She's a hot prostitute.
Oh, but when her head gets stuck on that hook thing?
Oh, yeah, I know, but she's... Everybody remembers, too.
Right, but she's not skanky like in like other movies. She's a really like, hot Asian pop prostitute. And then like it all spirals down into dark humor where everyone gets involved and then, you know, a bunch of other people. I don't know. It was a good movie.
Very Bad Things is a good. You know, the great thing about that movie is it's unrepentant. They just don't apologize for it. It's a movie about a bunch of guys who get coked out of their brains and they kill a hot prostitute. And then I think they cut up her body and hide it. And then, you know what? And they never apologize. It's like, here's the movie. F you.
That's right.
It's so great.
Isn't the guy that's an Entourage in that too?
Probably, and it was. It's been a while since I've
seen
it.
Oh, Jeremy Piven.
Piven is in it too. You're right, and so is Gwyneth Paltrow. Cameron Diaz. And it was written and directed, or at least directed by Peter Berg, who did Friday Night Lights. So that guy has some real range on him. So yeah, that's a Very Bad Things is a great movie. Well spotted, sir.
Wait, Friday Night Lights shows range?
No, I'm saying that he can do Friday Night Lights and do Very Bad Things. And also Peter Berg, also the lead actor in Wes Craven's Shocker.
Okay.
So there you go. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Shocker.
Shocker's a terrible film. Shocker's one of the worst horror films ever made. We have to be done here in just a second because then we got to move on. All right.
Someone was calling about.
Yeah, we'll do one more and then we'll get your lost call. And then if we have a second, we'll talk to Scotty and then we'll break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing today, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, I got my all-time favorite Christian Slater movie. Is,
yes?
Cuffs. It was Cuffs. You never hear anything
Cuffs
about
with
it,
a though. K. Cuffs with a K.
Yeah, was I can't remember.
I really like that.
Was that where he was a high school cop?
Well, what it was is apparently in San Francisco, at some time, local businesses could pay for special protection from police specials, and they basically owned their own precinct.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
And his brother owned one, and he saw his brother get killed, and the whole movie is about him revenging his brother and trying to hold on to his brother's little precinct.
But, all right.
I can't remember the romantic lead in that movie, but she was fine.
Would you say it's good or terrible?
It's one of my favorite flicks because it's got a lot of funny stuff in it.
Excellent. All right. Cops with a K. Thank you, sir.
You got it.
All right. There you go. Scotty is demanding that I take line one first. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. It's Dave. How you doing?
What's up?
A couple things, by the way. Buddy Ravel, great reference.
I just got another email about 3 o'clock. Now I've gotten a whole bunch of emails. Now apparently that's one of those movies that a lot of people have seen. I thought it was very little seen, but apparently I've got a lot of these. Rick, not a wasted shot of the whole movie. Perfect. 3 o'clock high is flawless. Yeah.
Yeah. Here was my good idea. You've got your website, your MySpace thing. These speeches, I look forward to them every damn day. But when it's just a thing, you have a drink of it, and then it's gone. You can't get another one. Can you post these? Can you have them available so I can just click in and just savor them again and again?
If I do that, sir, then where is your motivation to listen? Then if I give you a fish, sir, no, that's not right. If I'm giving you, if I post the fish online, I don't know what I'm
saying.
Maybe
you can put up the YouTube clip every day of whatever speech that we use.
Something like that, because some of them come off YouTube, some of them come out of my library at home, some of them people send to us. We might be able to do a little archive, something like that. It's more work for Scotty, but what do I care?
Well, he can stand up to the challenge. I'm all right with that.
We'll look into it, and I'm not brushing you off with that response. We'll see if maybe we can set up a little archive section on the website.
All right, God bless
us. We're going to be revamping the station site because it sucks. So maybe when we do that, we'll put that up.
All right, thanks, brother.
I would like to leave you with this thought, sir. Nobody escapes the Duker.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Bye now. All right. That's that guy. All right, and finally, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hi, Sarah.
What's
I have
up?
Some bad news for you. Season 3 doesn't come out till December 11th.
In your face!
I know, I heard that, but it's on the internet, so I was hoping maybe somebody had burned it and then perhaps would like to bring me said
burned copy.
Yeah, but
do they pull them?
So
do they
like
pull them off
the,
after a certain time?
We'd like to use the airwaves to solicit for illegally pirated materials.
No, not that I'd ever do anything like that.
Just what CBS would like, I'm sure. And send us a new Harry Potter while you're at it.
I'm sure someone's TiVo'd them.
Maybe someone has them on their TiVo at their home, and you can watch them there, thus still
illegal.
Staying within the fair use parameters as established by the law.
Of course.
Well, somebody
isn't it enough that I already purchased the first two seasons?
So it really ought to be.
Season three is good.
You'll like it.
Somebody will send this to me, man. We'll figure it out somehow.
It's like buy two, get one free.
Where do you rate season three?
It's even better than 2 and 1. Yeah,
right.
It just keeps getting better.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, it's torture.
We'll track it down.
I'm so sorry.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there you go.
Scott Daly's been writing me saying that the last episode of season 3 is hands down the best TV show he's ever seen.
All I've watched is the last 5 minutes of that episode, just because I wanted to see the big twist. which is pretty cool, by the way, which is boss. All right, we have, what's it, Steve Castam on 1140. Do we have time to touch Scotty?
Of course.
All right, let's just...
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Yeah.
Good morning, Metolia.
Ladies and gentlemen, our PA, the intrepid Scotty the J.
Good morning, Buncom. Nestled amongst the pines in a corner of southern Oregon's Applegate Valley.
You're such a tool.
Buncom?
Yes. Thanks for listening, Buncom.
So retarded. Hello, Scotty. How are you today?
Great.
You're wearing your Tom Petty shirt. Are you drunk?
No.
That's your hangover shirt. That is your hangover shirt.
It's just one that I grabbed out of the old
Because it's brown and it doesn't show wrinkles.
And he can spill on himself over and over again.
Right. I got Cheetos all over this
dribble
one.
Dribble onto
and
his own
Salisbury steak.
You are all kinds of sexy. Now, I thought Gay Bob was coming in today.
I thought so, too.
Now, am I confusing? I have to... this is now, I sent
I
back
like
an email.
Scotty's secretly canceling these people.
Well, I think this may be on me because a lot of people I know by email address. In other words, when they email me, it doesn't say their name. It just says their email address. And so I sent an email to the guy that I thought was Gay Bob this morning. And I said, hey, you coming in? What time? And he said, he emailed back and he said... This is what his email says. He goes, we hadn't said, this is the first time I've heard from you, but but I could probably, depending on the status of the tunnel, get there and back at my lunch hour, which is flexible. Bob. So
Bob's flexible.
Well, no, but my question is this a different Gay Bob? Because I emailed this guy, and I'm like, hey, Bob, are you coming in today? And he responded back and said, basically, well, I don't know. This is the first time I've heard from you about it, but sure, I'm willing to come in. So I wonder if, like... Are there two Gay Bobs and I'm getting their email addresses mixed up in my head?
Well, how many Gay Bobs are there?
I think we have two Gay Bobs.
Really? So is this a different Gay Bob that I confirmed with the other day? And I apologize. I don't mean to this guy to feel that he doesn't somehow stand out of my mind. But again, a lot of people I know because of their email address. And I'm wondering if they have similar email addresses somehow and I just I inadvertently confused them this morning when I was emailing. So Scotty, the good news is you may have two Gay Bobs coming in today.
Wow. I can hardly...
One for each
I better unwrinkle my shirt.
That's what I like to hear. Your will has been broken and you're bowing down and accepting it. That's what I like. That's the tone of voice I like to hear, Scotty. All right. I think that's pretty much it. I was going to ask you something, but I forget exactly what it is. Oh, how is that? How are we coming on Dick Van Patten?
That's going to happen in the first part of August.
You don't really know, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But it's when the release of this...
of his revolutionary pet product?
Oh. Yes.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
No.
All right. Thank you for your work on the podcast, by the way. The listeners appreciate it.
You're welcome. I moved it down so it's only four. It's each hour instead of having, eight that you had to download. It's now... Each hour.
Oh, four
so
segments.
Only four segments.
And they're smaller and they're processed.
Yes.
They're easier to listen to. All right, excellent. Thank you, Scotty.
Thanks, Scotty.
All right, final call, then we'll break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, Melissa Tomei.
Yes.
She was in the third season of Rescue Me with Dennis Leary.
Now, I quit watching that show after the first season, not because it's bad, but just because I lost track of it, and I need to catch up on it. So she was, who did she play? Was she just like somebody's wife or something?
She was his brother's ex-wife. Dennis Leary's ex-wife starts sleeping with his brother, so Dennis Leary hooks up with Marissa Tomei, who is his brother's ex-wife.
And did she look good?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
No question.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You know who Marissa Tomei kind of looks like in her better... well, maybe it's that the other girl looks like her. She kind of looks like Jamie Lynn Sigler, who's Meadow Soprano. Meadow Soprano and Marissa Tomei... They both have kind of a similar thing going on there. I don't know if it's like an Italian thing or like a... Because I think, what's her name? Jamie Lynn Sigler's like half Italian, half Cuban. And I don't know what Marissa Tomei, I think she's Italian. I don't know, whatever. But they both got kind of a similar look. Both hot. All right, we should break here. We'll come back after this. We got Dick Giuliano coming up, Steve Kastenbaum. Later on, Ed McCarthy, Tim Riley, Mr. Skin, Scotty J, and all of that. You say there's the Rick Emerson. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Oh, here we go. Really? I don't remember this. Marissa Tomei, and it's the last thing I'll say about it. Marissa Tomei was in the slums of Beverly Hills dancing near naked with a vibrating marital aid. I thought that was, what's her name? Natasha Lyonne. I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, I know that she's in that Natasha.
Whatever happened to Natasha Lyonne? She just sort of vanished. Remember how she was the it girl for like a month and a half? And then I think she went into rehab, and then we just never heard from her again. Natasha Lyonne, who I think came to prominence in Detroit Rock City. Was that the first movie she was in? What did Natasha Lyonne do that she got all that fame for? American Pie, that's right, where she was the sort of smart girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was in Detroit Rock City, Slums of Beverly Hills, and then she was in, something else.
Oh, she was in I'm a Cheerleader.
No, there you go, that's right. And I was going to say Opposite of Sex, but that's Christina Ricci. So, it's all very... Opposite of Sex... Okay, and then this will be done. We'll be done with Rick just babbling about crap no one cares about. Opposite of Sex, starring Martin Donovan, who is also in Trust, which is like one of the greatest movies ever. And we're done. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson program. Live from the city that never sleeps, the one, the only, Steve Kastenbaum. Why, hello, sir, and how are you on Wednesday?
I'm doing well.
Are you really doing well, or is that sort of a pat response to a frequently asked question?
Probably the second. No, I'm doing pretty good, actually. I feel really good. Although the weather's lousy in New York right now.
Now, by lousy, is it just cold? Is it raining? Is it locusts? What do you got?
Thunderstorms, torrential downpours today. Some localized spots got something like 3.5 inches of rain in a few hours.
Now, is the thing, I don't really know how stuff works. Is this the thing where if it gets hot for a long time, that's what triggers an eventual rainstorm?
Sometimes, yeah. Oh, we have those horrible, hot, humid days, you know, where it's in the 90s, and then all of a sudden later in the afternoon we have an incredible thunderstorm. But today was just one of those weather fronts pulling through.
Excellent. All right. So we've got...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, go ahead.
If I sound distracted, it's because I was CNN was on my screen TV, and they were showing a video of people in Pamplona, Spain, getting gored by bulls.
Let's talk about that. I don't even care about the Dow Jones. Let's talk about... I mean, I do sort of, only because I know that... Look, here's the thing, and this is a fact. This is not a mere boasting on my part. The talk radio audience, as you know, not just for this station, but across the board, the talk radio audience is smarter, more educated, and either wealthier or on their way to becoming wealthier than most of the general population. Talk
right.
Radio audience, smarter and richer. So I know people care about this kind of stuff. Real quickly... So the Dow just hit 14,000. Now, here's my question. A, I heard that that's the first time that's ever happened. Is that true? And B, not unlike the heat leading to rains, does this mean that something bad is around the corner?
Well, here's the deal. Analysts have been saying for a while now that there needs to be a correction on Wall Street, that the stock market has been going up too much too fast in a really short period of time. It took only less than 60 days, rather, something like 56, 57 days, for the Dow to go from 13,000 to 14,000, that's a really fast jump for 1,000 points there. So the analysts have been saying there needs to be this correction, but the market shows no sign of a major pullback until today, really. There's a little bit of a readjustment today. The Dow right now is down about 124 points, so we retreated after yesterday. Yesterday we closed up near 14,000, although we didn't finish at 14,000. It did pass that milestone.
Now, when you say things like correction and pullback, and so that just means it's something. Those are terms for people losing money, right?
Yeah, what it means is that, you know, these analysts believe a lot of stocks are being getting a greater asking price than they're actually worth. So they're saying at some point people are going to take their profits out.
All right.
But, you know, I mean... But the market keeps going up. Keeps going and going and going.
Well, so there you go. So people are making money, and then eventually they'll lose it all, and then we'll all die of cancer.
I'm sorry. I was going to say the secret is if you stay in it for the long haul, this is the best advice anyone will ever give you. You're going to make money. Just stay in it for the long run.
Let's talk about people dying of something else and people whose lives have... Let's talk about people who've been corrected at the end of a bull's horns. I saw this photo on Yahoo Photos the other day, and I'd completely forgotten about this. You were talking about the running levels in Pamplona. Did you see that photo of a guy, and it's not your typical run-of-the-mill goring where he gets the horn right through the middle, like right through his stomach?
Right.
This is even worse because it's a minor injury, and of course minor injuries sort of paradoxically seem a lot more painful, and they're more painful to look at. In other words, I've seen guys get shot, but then, you know, a guy getting a paper cut seems a lot worse.
Right.
There's a, did you see the one where the guy got gored and the horn of the bull goes right into, like, his calf and just sort of hooks right underneath, like, the epidermis?
I'm searching for this right now. Hold on.
I'll find it and send it to you. It's among the worst things I've ever seen.
It goes right through the leg, huh?
Yeah, right through, but just underneath the skin. Just sort of hooks it right underneath the skin of his leg.
Ouch. I went to the running of the bulls years ago.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't do the running because I was just way too drunk in the morning to even chance running on those cobblestones. See, that party goes nonstop.
Fantastic.
But, it's always an American who winds up getting gored, like some college student. Like, everybody's running in the traditional clothing of the white clothing with the red scarves around their necks,
right.
You know, representing their town's bullfighter. And, you know, those folks, they know how to run the bulls. It's always some, you know, kid who's on his summer vacation, you know, from some top 10,
totally.
10 university who got drunk all night. He's running in his college sweatshirt.
Somebody,
you know?
Getting it from Stanford.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah, I love it.
My friend, I apologize. We're behind schedule, so we got to bail. But remind me to ask you more about the running the bulls at some point.
I'd love to talk about it.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Steve Kastenbaum in New York City. Fantastic. All right. And I think that buzzing was probably Dick Giuliano calling in, so that looks like him right there. So we'll get to him in just one second. Rick, Marissa Tomei was also the only bright spot. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about this anymore. In Mel Gibson's What Women Want, Natasha Lyonne is dancing. Really?
I didn't meet her in the coffee shop.
Okay, yeah. And then, of course, the Slums of Beverly Hills, it is Marissa Tomei and Natasha Lyonne doing a little dance together. Fantastic. That's wonderful. I never saw that movie. That's a movie that I saw, that What Women Want. First of all, I got this whole thing. I find Helen Hunt to be tremendously off-putting. She just seems like she seems like a horrible person. And I don't have any knowledge about that. And maybe she's fine. Maybe she gets along well with small children and animals. But Helen Hunt just seems like a terrible, just black-souled person. She doesn't seem like she's from this earth, I'll tell you that. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and man about town, Dick Giuliano. Hello, Dick. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Rick. Good afternoon from Washington, D.C.
I apologize for the delay in getting you on there. We have a little congestion on our phone lines today.
That's okay.
Let's talk about this business of all the guys, the Senate, and I'll just quote here from the prep sheet, the Senate Democratic leaders rolling out sleeping cots. This all-night debate that they had about the war... let me ask you this, just an objective assessment of this.
Yes.
Would you say that this was done largely, if not solely, I don't want to say solely, but would you say this is done largely for purposes of theatricality?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would, but I don't necessarily think that that's a negative on it. Look, you know, Marshall McLuhan, the great thinker about media, said many, many years ago, the medium is the message. And, you know, it's all part of the same ball of wax. The Democrats held this all-nighter because they don't have enough votes to work their will to get what they want done, which is a withdrawal of troops from Iraq. So what do? You try different parliamentary maneuvers. This is nothing more than Republicans have done when they control the House, Senate. They've done similar measures. The idea between the all-night session was to capture publicity, to call the nation's attention to the Democrats' issue. Hello, America. We're trying to do this, and the Republicans are blocking it, so we're here all night long trying. And it did get a lot of attention. Didn't change very many votes. I think one vote changed when all was said and done. But, you know, trying not to be cynical, I kind of see it as part of the whole process. It's part of the ways you try to wield your influence when you run the Senate.
My question would be, and I guess now we're getting into punditry with this, but question would be, so I understand, I've talked about this a lot, that I do understand the value of big, bold, public gestures. And I do understand the idea that you need a little bit of theatricality. You need to be able to create a little bit of buzz. Howard Dean obviously understood that. Activists in the past have understood that. My question is, if they're doing something like this where everybody's kind of, you know, they're pitching a tent and ordering pizza and staying up till 5 in the morning debating this because they want to get the American people behind them, it does seem, from all evidence, that war has already been won. The American people kind of are behind them. The war has never been more unpopular, and it's just that the president doesn't care.
Well, it's not just that, though. I mean, you do that kind of thing with the hope that the Republicans who are standing for re-election next year might get heat from their voters back home, that somebody might say to one of these Republicans who's been voting against the Democrats, you know, hey, you were in all night. Why don't you go along with these guys? You know, it's just that kind of thing. It's just a tool. It's a mechanism. You know, the flip side of this, for people who are cynical about the Democrats' efforts to do this, I would point them to the various Republicans who have gone against the war recently. Some of them, you'd think, maybe going against it because they're facing re-election next year.
Right.
Well, that's okay. That's the way the system works. That's the way the founders devised it.
Fantastic. My friend, it is always a pleasure seeing a radio correspondent, Dick Giuliano. Enjoy the rest of your day, Dick.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Thank you. Dick Giuliano, ladies and gentlemen. I love that guy. He just needs...
He's all business.
He totally... He needs a fedora. I don't know if he wears one, but if he doesn't, we got to get him one. Do I dare... Do I dare take another Marissa Tomei call before we break?
Of course.
Can we agree that this is the last one we're ever taking, at least for today?
Just not the last Christian Slater call.
No,
I like
he's
talking about him.
No, he's going to be the gift that keeps on. You're right. He is the Bill Pullman of a new generation. All right. This is the final Marissa Tomei call for today's program, much as I love her. You know, I do have this program to thank, though, because I hadn't really thought about Marissa Tomei for a while. Probably been a few weeks since I'd had any sort of Marissa Tomei thoughts in my head. She really is just at least what does she look like now? Let me look. I wonder if there's some sort of recent picture of her on Google. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this to work. Let me see if I can, and then we'll take this call here. But let me just Google Marissa Tomei right now. Marissa. And you know the thing about it is, girls named Marissa are sluts too. Tomei.
She does seem kind of naughty.
She does. I can totally see
mm-hmm.
that. Boy, just she is just so stunning in some of these photographs. I don't know how old she is now, but I think she'll probably age well, though. I think she'll probably continue to look hot as she gets older. That's wonderful. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
I was wondering if you had ever heard the urban legend that Jack Palance couldn't read the actual winner for the Best Supporting Actor.
That he said the name wrong.
Her name was the first thing that popped into his head.
Yeah.
Have you heard that? Is that anything that you can go off about? I just thought that would be a final touch to the whole Marissa Tomei.
No, and thank you for bringing it home. That is a good way to close the circle. Yeah, there is this urban legend that Jack Palance that year came out of because he was like 1,000 years old. He was handed the envelope, and she had been nominated for My Cousin Vinny, and she was up against whoever. And then he said, and the Oscar goes to Marissa Tomei because he couldn't read it, and he couldn't think of it. And because the story goes that he couldn't read the envelope because he was so out of it and old. Didn't have his glasses on, couldn't read it, and hers was the only name that he could remember from the nominations.
Right.
And so he just said Marissa Tomei, and there was some rule that, like, if you said the person's name, they had to get the Oscar, even if they didn't really win it. But that is a fiction. I don't even remember who else was nominated that year, though. Do you?
I wish I could add to this more. I just thought it was really interesting. And what would you do in such a situation? What would the Academy do in such a situation?
I think about that a lot, actually. I wish that somebody would do that. I just once, I wish that somebody who was just old or out of it or didn't care would just come out and just read the wrong name, just to throw a monkey wrench into things.
Oh, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Announce the nominees and then to say some other name out of
seriously
the field,
and then no matter who the winner actually is, just say that it you know just say that the award goes to Carrot Top, you know what I mean? Doesn't matter, just do whoever. All right, excellent. Thank
have
you
have a good
sir.
Day man.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. And we're full circle.
I've never heard that. That's interesting.
It's an urban legend, yeah, and it's kind of a shame because I mean, you know, because I think in a large part that has sort of diminished her stature, you know, and whatever cachet comes with winning an Oscar, because there's so many people who believe this urban legend that she got it because this old guy just said her name incorrectly. So there you go. Not like the Oscar really confers a lot of status anyway.
Who is she up against?
I don't even remember. That's the thing. I don't even remember what year it was. I don't remember who else she was up against. I mean, it's not like the Academy has an unimpeachable taste anyway, Cuba Gooding Jr. So, I mean, anyway. Listen, have you seen that commercial yet for Daddy Daycare 2? Of course not. I'm sorry. I just want everybody else to see it so that they can suffer the way I have suffered. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth for the Noon News Hour. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Don't go anywhere. All right then. the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again. Will you please put your hands together for the Reverend Jim Riley?
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Everybody in the coup, our top story. A Vancouver police officer has been shot, and luckily, his injuries are non-life-threatening. This during a standoff with a wanted man. It all began at 7:20 this morning in the area of 157th Avenue at Southeast 15th. And all kinds of people were brought in. The Vancouver Bomb Squad, a SWAT team.
So is this guy
FBI.
In a house or in an apartment?
He's in a house.
In the, or what? Is it over? Is it resolved?
No. Let's see. Apparently, the barricaded suspect fired several shots but didn't hit anyone. And a woman came out of the house to confirm that the wanted man was inside. They also believe a second man is inside the house. And let's see, neighborhood residents were told to stay inside. Let's see, the man has two outstanding warrants and is refusing to come out. Please have him release his name.
So wait, let me understand this. So this guy's in the coup. This is going on now.
Yeah.
The guy in the coup, he's in a house. Now, does he have hostages?
Apparently has one.
So the other guy in the house is not some other ne'er-do-well. He's some sort of an... Is it his own house that the guy is holed up in?
It does not say.
Huh, interesting. So he shot a cop, but the cop's okay.
Yeah, cop's okay.
All right.
So that's that. That's been going on since early this morning. He has two outstanding warrants. Clackamas County Commissioners have approved a ban on drinking of alcohol in local parks. This is because they've had three riots there since the 4th of July. Two of them at Carver Park. There was a huge one, the granddaddy of all riots at Riverside Park. Some of the people involved fought with one another, and hours later, one of them opened fire. So far, nobody's been seriously hurt, but this is the coup where life is cheap. Not the coup, but Clackamas County. Well, it's kind of like the same thing. Clackamas County deputies have been cracking down on everything from water safety to parking violations. And by the way, this is only a temporary alcohol ban. They're not out to ruin someone's way of life.
So now what? They're not going to, because otherwise, I mean, really, what other hobbies could you have in that part of the world? So is it a thing where, like, if you have it covered, like if it's in a bag, you can have it? Do they have that open? Well, I don't understand how the open container laws work. Because you always, I wonder
if possession of alcoholic beverages will be prohibited in Barton and Carver County parks effective midnight Friday, so you still have time. Through September 5th.
So in the parks, you may not have alcohol, even if it is sealed or even if it is in a bag.
Right.
Now, what about if you're not in a park? Like, if you're just a...
That's fine.
So if you're just on the street corner in Clackamas, you could just be drinking yourself blind?
Right, so move.
Well done. So go stand on the corner.
Yeah.
Just go imbibe somewhere near traffic.
So this is only a temporary experiment.
Fantastic.
A woman is in the hospital after she was stabbed downtown early this morning. Happened around 2:45 at Northwest 4th and Everett.
Down,
nobody should be
down.
Walking around. No information on the woman's identity or condition of why she was walking around. A pregnant woman is back in police custody, accused of stealing a car hours after her release from the Marion County Jail. Cassie Acosta allegedly stole a car early yesterday morning, just 5 hours after she was released from jail. She said she did it to protect her 15-year-old sister who's planning to steal the car herself. I did it because I didn't want my little sister doing it. I'd rather be in here than have her come to jail like the rest of our family. Acosta regrets the decision after spending 13 months for stealing a car in 2003, earlier this year. And apparently she's been clean and sober of methamphetamine since February only because she's been incarcerated.
Well, that's great.
She's 6 months pregnant and has a 3.5-year-old daughter.
Hey, hold on. She's 6 months pregnant and she's been clean and sober since when?
Since February.
March, April, May, June. Uh-oh. All right. Well, save another cell.
And she knows the state will put her two children in foster care. Well, what can she do? She plans to plead guilty for stealing the car.
Jesus. You know,
at least it's spared her little sister from being thrown the pokey like the rest of the family.
I was just going to say, it sounds like that's the only way you can see the rest of your family members, though.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Acosta family, that's one big reunion in there. Well, well done. Someday we're going to put birth control in the water right next to the fluoride. You know what I mean? We're just going to sterilize everybody. It's going to come right out of the tap. And you'll have to come to the city council office to, you'll have to come downtown and try to get an antidote to that.
I like that idea. A Longview man blew up the duplex where he was living in order to collect renter's insurance, say the cops. A bank record show his debit card was used 10 minutes before the explosion to buy gasoline.
Where is this at?
This is in Longview.
Fantastic. This is
is a great day.
These are people who dream of living in the Coupe someday. Once again, he used his debit card 10 minutes before the explosion to buy gasoline.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The duplex on Cotwin Court exploded and then burned down June 25th. Ryan Burge was living in the apartment with his girlfriend. He denied any knowledge of the cause
of
the fire.
I have no idea. Yeah.
So deputies traced the explosion to Burge and two of his friends. The three were seen leaving the duplex moments before it exploded. Now all three are charged with arson in the third degree.
What do they blow it up with? You can't just blow a place up with gasoline. You gotta.
They poured gasoline throughout the place. Then they put a crumpled newspaper on the floor and lit the stove. The spark ignited the fumes, making it almost instantaneous, and a violent explosion shook neighborhood houses, but they all ran out in time. Some of the people were still in the building at the time. Think of the poor person living on the other end of the duplex.
Did you hear something? The thing about these guys, though, that they've somehow worked out in their head the way that they can blow. Like, I don't think I know how to blow up a building just with commonly found supplies.
But listen to this program.
So they...
We'll tell you how to commit a wide variety of crimes.
But the great thing about it is that it's like, I think I've used this analogy before, but it's sort of like that little drain hole at the top of your sink that keeps it from overflowing. Like, you can turn on the tap and just leave home, and it, you know, and it won't spill into the bathroom because it'll drain off when it gets to that little hole at the top. That's what the criminals do. It's like the guys have somehow got it together enough that they can figure out how to blow up an entire building, and yet he goes and he buys everything on his debit card using his... If you're already zen with the fact that you're going to be committing a felony, and I think many felonies if you are conspiring to blow up this building, why would you not then just go... I'm not suggesting you do this, but why would you not just go mug somebody for their debit card? I mean, it just seems like one more step. Really, what do you care? Just a matter of degrees for your idiot felonious ass at that point. So, okay.
Swimmers and boaters are warned to stay out of the Willamette River. The rainfall has caused untreated sewage to flow into the Willamette.
I love this town.
Of course, we're less than 5 years away from completing a 20-year program to improve the city's sewer system that'll prevent overflows into the Willamette. And then it'll just crack somewhere else.
I'm just going to put it into wheelbarrows and haul it over into St. John's. And like the idea of swimming in treated sewage is so much better. The idea that
it's the best kind. If I had my choice.
It's got a fresh minty taste to it. Why, this treated sewage is fantastic. It smells of elderberries. I mean, really, I don't even understand. And please don't call about this. I don't
know. Swim around. I'm training for the Olympics.
It's the river that eats like a meal. I don't even understand. And don't call to clarify, because I don't know that it's got a thing that can be explained over the phone. I don't understand how this works. Well, I guess I do kind of want to figure it out. Okay, so let's say, so I'm at my house. You flush your toilet, all the business goes down the toilet, goes down the drain.
Yes.
Where does it go?
To the sewage treatment plant.
Now, where is that?
It's past St. John's.
So the sewage treatment plant is
North Portland.
Way out yonder.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't understand how the rainfall causes what I flush down my toilet to get into the river somehow. I mean,
it makes the water level rise.
The water level in what?
Probably the sewage treatment plant.
So have they not... Did they build the sewage treatment plant and just not put a roof on it?
I don't have a roof on it.
I'm not trying to be deliberately obtuse here. I just don't understand why you would decide to build a huge tank that holds, you know, poo next to a river, and then, I mean, in a place where you've presumably... When did they build this sewage treatment plant? Like, what, 20, 30 years ago?
I don't know.
I mean, clearly you didn't build it overnight. Clearly they were aware that it rains here. I just don't understand the logic behind building a huge tank full of feces right next to a river in a place where it rains 6 months out of the year, and then deciding at the last moment not to put, like, a canopy or something over the top of it. I mean, I'm not trying to boil it down and make it to oversimplify, but really, it does seem like if you'd, you know, it's not a Costco. You can't just have exposed ductwork everywhere. It seems like if you just sort of put, like, a tent or something over the top of it, they would stop this from happening. It seems like a sewage treatment plant ought to be a closed system, you know? Not where it's sort of a half pipe containing everything. There's a whole thing just... All right.
Wait, hold on. Look at all these sewage calls.
You bet. People know their stuff.
That statement really sums up this show better than anything else, doesn't it? Look at all these sewage calls. That really is this program in a nutshell. Attention consultants, if you want to do some sort of a some sort of a composite representation of this. That you just use that one statement. Hi, you have a sewage answer, sir.
Okay, the rain doesn't go into the sewage treatment plant. The rain goes into the drains that also carries the sewage.
Right.
The pipes, which are the big pipes supposed to take care of because it's so big, the pipes are too small to handle all the volume, so that volume overflows into the Willamette.
So the pipes can handle
the treatment plant.
The pipes can handle the water or the sewage, but not both.
But not both. That's all why right. They're doing the big pipe project.
Well, isn't there some... I mean, I say as though I, with my barely high school education, can outthink like whatever scientist developed this. But I mean, I don't mean that. I'm not going to sit and talk about the screening method by which all of the waste gets to the sewage plant. But doesn't it seem like the pipe could be designed in some way so that the pure liquid aspects are siphoned off somehow?
Well, that's what the treatment plant does. That's why it's open air. It evaporates. But also, the city just wasn't smart enough to do two different systems, rainwater and sewage water. They just combined in some areas. They do have rain drain, street drain.
Mm-hmm.
They have sewage combined with rainwater. So it's just all messed up. It's I agree. I don't swim in the Willamette myself.
Does this problem happen in other cities? Does this happen in other places where they just look? The settlers came, Whitey came and looked at the river and said, why don't we just dump all of our toilet poo into there? I mean,
well, California, in L.A., they don't have rainwater drains. They just have giant gutter systems off their streets. That carries it to the Colorado and to viaducts. That carries it out to the Pacific. But so theirs is just kind of different designed. Ours, we have to have something other than just a gutter system that will handle all the volume of rain that we get here.
Really, you know, and just giving this planet to us was just like giving Lindsay Lohan your car keys. It just doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, really, we deserve whatever we get. It's true. All right, thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, there you go. There's
That's
you go.
Why they call it the city that works.
There's your sewage answer. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A Hood River police officer is in trouble after making a late-night call to emergency dispatchers while off duty while admitting he was drunk. It was a 25-minute conversation involving crude and offensive language. He complained about his coworkers, even tried to get background information about a woman of Hood River. Let's see, he continued to chat on a non-emergency line 25 minutes after that. After complaining about his job, he also complained about gays, of course. And
just going down a list.
Yeah.
Did he get to his ex-wife?
Probably.
Guys like that are always. It's always the ex-wife, and then it's something about affirmative action. That's always on the list as well.
So that is most of the local news.
So there you go. This was 911. He called, was it?
Yeah, it was 911. And then when he hung that. Up with that, he called the non-emergency number. I wasn't done talking.
I've got more things to say. I got stuff to say. I have a friend of mine who used to get drunk and call 911 just to chat. And I think eventually the cops visited his home, and they dissuaded him from calling 911 as just a place to unburden himself of all his social observations. And so he then began calling the home shopping network of those QVC. Because it's a little known fact, I don't know if it's still the case, but it used to be the fact that if you would call one of the home shopping networks, and I don't even know that the home shopping network itself still exists
anymore.
It's
called QVC.
Now, is it the same thing?
It's the same thing.
What does that stand for?
Quality, value.
Something. See, that's what I thought, too. I put together quality, value in my head just now, and then I came up with quality, value, control, but that doesn't
customers?
Make any sense. No, that can't be that.
I don't know.
When you said QVC, I immediately thought in my head, I was extrapolating it out or whatever the word is. And I was saying quality, value, cucamonga. You know, I have nothing. But he used to, but it is a little known fact that if you call some of those home shopping networks that are on television, they are forbidden in most cases to ever terminate the call. They are not allowed to hang up on a customer. And so he would just call and just babble, just relentless. He would get into like half a gallon of red wine, and he would call up the home shopping network at 4 a.m. and just go on and on about the sorry state of his existence. It's just some hapless operator who's making like $3 an hour trying to sell him, you know, like imitation rubies or like a Franklin mint plate with a dog on it or something. You know, and when I found that out, when I found out that they couldn't hang up, when I was in a really bad mood, when I was like 18 or 19, if I was feeling really obnoxious and just displeased with the world, I would just take it out on some home shopping network operator by calling up and getting them on the phone, and then just telling them that I had to excuse myself for a moment, then I would just toss the phone into the other room and leave it there for 3 or 4 hours and come back later and see if they were still on hold. And they always were. They were always still right there. I feel bad about it now. I really do. But, you know, I just wanted to exercise a little bit of power over somebody, so I would just keep a home shopping network operator on the phone for like 3.5 hours for no real reason. All right. Let's see. This is... I think... Scotty, are these... Are these sewer calls going to offer anything new? Are these going to be the? Is this going to be a rehashing of the sewage discussion we've already had? Can you find out if they have anything? I don't mean to diminish the quality of the call. I'm just saying I don't wish for them to waste their valuable time if they're going to have the, you know, if they're going to just give us the same business we already had. All right, here's Tim Riley.
From Marin County comes word, their county commissioners plan to decide next week whether or not to sue the Oregon State Fire Marshal's office. They think that the office should pay for some of the damages that occurred when confiscated fireworks blew up at the county's garbage-burning plant 3 summers ago. The fireworks exploded in a bean chute, leading to one of the plant's boilers, which wasn't a very good place to put fireworks.
What's the hottest place in this entire plant?
The county officials say they lost $250,000 from the insurance deductible for repairs. $113,000 for lost tipping fees from people who dumped the trash, and $87,000 in lost electricity revenue. So they're going to battle it out for that.
That is fantastic. Oh, this email says, this is the kind of quality and respect we deserve from our audience here and that I've come to anticipate. Rick, it stands for Quality Value Channel, you dumbass. All right, thank you, sir. Let's see. Rick, pleased to be looking. Have you seen the K2 report about Harry Potter? Is this about the leaking of the book?
Well, I had something else on here from the New York Times.
Really?
Let's see here. According to Scholastic Books, on Monday, the company issued a subpoena to Gia Online, the social networking and gaming site, ordering it to take down a link with some of the photos. Bill Dannon, the Gia spokesman, said that within hours, they removed the photos and banned the user for 14 days. But he's only being banned for 14
that'll
days.
That'll show him.
Let's see here. There are also 6 photos posted on Flickr, a photo sharing site.
And PhotoBucket as well. I know it was up there. I actually saw on a lot of news sites last night, I haven't looked at the book itself, but they were showing a bunch of sample snapshots of that file that's going around.
It looks like it's lying on a rug.
Boy.
The book is lying on a rug.
It is. It's lying on a rug, and it's a hand holding the book open on a rug, and they obviously just went through with a digital camera, opened the book, and then, you know, took a snapshot of each set of 2 pages. But there's just so much to say about that, and I know it's Wednesday, and so we got a couple more days of Harry Potter discussion, but I got so many thoughts about that, because not to be about us, because it's really just about, it is just about this being a flexible media outlet as opposed to the more mainstream media, or the old media, as they are sometimes called, because how far ahead of the story were we on this? I mean, we were talking about this, I mean, I was talking to people about it on, what is today, on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night at like 7:30, we were already texting each other, kind of, you know, in the geek community about this Harry Potter thing. We talked about it all day yesterday, just now today, and this is at Yahoo, just now this morning. It showed up on the Yahoo headlines. I mean, a full 2 days after the fact. We were talking about it before CNN had even heard about it. So it is interesting that this show, you know, talk radio, is not unlike the internet itself, can just, you know, reinvent itself every few minutes to handle whatever it is that's going on in the world. That's why we beat most of the mainstream media to the punch on these things. Also, this. I was having this thought last night. Well, let me back up for a second, since we are talking about this Harry Potter story. So I saw an interesting post last night on a social networking site that I will not... It was not MySpace, but it was a sort of a news aggregation / social networking site. Do I sound like I'm slurring my words today?
No, you sound fine.
Sound a little drunk.
The truth is somewhere in between, I'm sure. I think I need more caffeine, but I'm afraid to have it now for fear that it will throw off the delicate balance of chemicals that I put into my system every day. I'm unsure about how to handle this. Is there Viso? Oh, there is.
Scotty bought some for us.
I don't know if I should have that or not.
That's why he gets a bag of Cheetos.
And a pat on the head. what was I saying? So I was on this kind of geek message board last night, and here is a great slash terrible slash wonderful slash creepy slash whatever thing. This is exactly the kind of thing that makes the internet great, but that simultaneously infuriates members of the old media and members of the business community. So as everybody knows, snapshots of all, what, 689 pages of the new Harry Potter book are floating around that. The entire book has been leaked online, but you can't, like, print it out in Microsoft Word or something. It's all just photos of the book. So I was on a website last night just browsing around, minding my own business, and there was a cadre of geeks that had banded together on this site, and they were recruiting people to each take a 10-page section and transcribe it. And their goal was to have the entire book transcribed and put into Word document form by the end of last night. I mean, the guy just, he's like, hey, who wants to wade through all of these photos and have to, like, look at pictures to read the book? Their goal was by midnight last night to have gathered enough geeks on this message board to have transcribed it all and typed it out into a Word document. And they probably have done it by now. I didn't check back. But by now, the whole book is probably floating around now in an actual easy-to-download, easy-to-read, easy-to-distribute Word document form. I mean, which is, I'm not saying it's great as such, but I'm saying that is sort of the aggregate power of the internet right there. That's why the internet just can't be stopped in terms of these things. I mean, it's just the power of distributed thought and distributed manpower and computing just cannot be overcome. And that's why these these people at Scholastic Books have got to be tearing their hair out. There's nothing you can do. You just can't stop it. And I will also say this. This thought sort of occurred to me last night. I was sort of, where a lot of my interesting thoughts come is that I'm just sort of on that precipice of sleep. So I was sitting there just drifting off to sleep last night thinking about Harry Potter, because that's what I do. And I was thinking about this. There was this moment last night for about 5 minutes, right as I drifted off to bed. There was this moment for about 5 minutes last night as I was entering my subconscious state when I was convinced that this series of photographs revealing the book's contents was an elaborate double fake-out by the people at Scholastic, by the Harry Potter people. And I even when I woke up this morning, I'm still not really sure about it one way or the other. I think it is entirely possible that this Harry Potter leak is, in fact, a ruse. That it is, in fact, some sort of fake-out that is so low-tech and so simple that it might not be obvious as a red herring. I don't know how to feel about that. I'm not sure about it. But, I mean, it is, I mean, if they, look, put it this way. If they spent £10 million recruiting some security company to make sure that people didn't get a hold of the Harry Potter contents, what if they paid $10 million and they got these security guys in a room and they sat around a table all night and they brainstormed ideas to make sure that people didn't get Harry Potter? What if this is the idea they came up with? You know? We'll spend $500, we'll print up a fake version of the book, we'll make some low-grade photographs, and we'll put it up on a file-sharing site, and everybody thinks they've got the real deal. I mean, how would you know, really? I mean, it does seem like if you were going to come up with a way to circumvent further leaking of the book, this would be the way to do it. Because nobody's looking to leak the book anymore because they're convinced it's already been leaked. And Scholastic's responses to the press have been very non-committal. They haven't confirmed or denied that it's the real deal. So I had this revelation last night of 3 or 4 minutes that if you were going to do it, if you were going to somehow effectively block or blunt the effect of hackers getting the book and leaking it, this would be exactly how you'd do it. It is the equivalent of Napster putting all those dummy files online years ago when the record industry was trying to shut down file sharing. And they would put out dummy files that purported to be the real thing but were in fact just there to waste your time and distract you and keep you from looking for the real thing. So that might be what this is. I don't know the answer, but it does seem likely.
Do we know if it's the same hand holding the book open for every page?
Are you screwing with me now, or is this a real question?
It is a real question.
I don't know.
Does this person have carpal tunnel syndrome or have some kind of damage by doing this for a long period of time while stills were snapped?
I don't know. I mean, it does seem like if you were going to create some sort of a fake, some sort of a red herring, a hoax leak, this is exactly how you would do it. You would replicate exactly the method by which a real leak would probably happen. So, and the thing is, in a weird way, it does benefit the Scholastic Company because the only way you're going to know is to stand in line Friday and get the book. No one will know, until you wait out there and you at 12:30 midnight or whatever it is, you finally get the book and you get it home and you start reading it. So, speaking of which, we're going to be talking to somebody from Powell's later on today about the Harry Potter book release and when are they opening the stores and how is there a limit on how many you can buy, what kind of people do they expect to turn out, and it's all very interesting. So,
I wonder if that's the hand of a Middle Eastern person.
Is this the hand of Al Qaeda? All right. We should do one more here, and then we'll take a break.
Well, tricks are no longer for kids, at least not on children's television shows, but Cocoa Puffs are another matter. Trying to convince critics that they do not need government regulation, 11 of the big cereal companies and other products like Campbell's Soup and Pepsi have agreed to stop advertising to children under 12. Don't ask me how that works. For example, while General Mills will no longer be advertising tricks to the 12 and under crowd, it'll continue to peddle Cocoa Puffs, which have one less gram of sugar per serving.
I'm sorry, I wasn't... What are you talking about?
Tricks. They're no longer for kids.
And why do they need to be regulated?
The government says so because you're not supposed to be advertising to children under 12.
I don't understand why you can't advertise to children. Who cares?
The parents do.
What, do your children have your Visa card? Unless your four-year-old is getting in the family Cadillac and driving down to the store with your MasterCard and filling up on filling up on Twizzlers, it doesn't really seem... Really, honestly, what kind of idiot parent are you that your five-year-old directs your shopping? Leave your goddamn child at home. Who cares what you advertise to the children? I mean, unless your kid has his own job and a platinum card, it doesn't really seem like it ought to be an issue at all. You know, people just pick the stupidest crap to whine about. For the love of God.
I wish they'd just stop it.
Seriously. When we come back, this guy has a thing about Scholastic books.
I remember buying those when I was back in grade school.
Aren't Scholastic books the one who do... They do the little book club of the month where they give you a little newsprinty thing that you open.
And you choose the books that you want. They're like under a dollar. At least they were back in my...
No, no, no. They were exorbitantly expensive when I was a kid. Those book club things at school. And then you would always have the poster of like the monkey hanging from a branch that said, "Hang in there." Mm-hmm. That was it. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We continue after this. Hi, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. All right, I've given in to the inevitable. I'm having more caffeine. All right. That's what I'm talking about. All right, 503-733-2970. Still to come, seeing the radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. We'll be talking to somebody from Powell City of Books as well to talk about the Harry Potter release, which is Friday night. What else? Top five. Coming up later on, more from Scotty J, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, Mr. Skin as well. This is... what have I done? I hit the wrong button. Oh, there we go. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How can I help you?
Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, you know, there is a Scholastic book branch here in Portland.
Now, I thought the Scholastic... Are they the publisher of the Harry Potter book here in America? They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have all the hardbacks there. Did you remember you got a call from Cosmopolis?
Yes.
That was me making deliveries for Scholastic.
Fantastic. So now...
Maybe I can get the boss man to give you a call.
Now, so Scholastic has a branch here. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean they publish here, or does that mean they have a distribution house here, or...
They distribute out of here. All the schools.
Excellent. So now, does that mean that the Potter books, do they come here and they go into storage at like a Scholastic warehouse here, or is it just a way station and they go right out of the stores? Where do they...
Well, in the times when I wasn't doing deliveries, I used to work in the warehouse, and I'd see them in cases.
Excellent. So they would just be sort of sitting around with the guy. What Mayman Chris was saying, that like they used to, as I think the last couple of books, they just sort of sat around like freely. But I think this time they have, I don't know if they have like an armed guard, but they're in like sealed packages. And I heard that Walmart actually has packages that are... They're these sealed packages for the new Harry Potter books, and I think they're actually, there's some sort of surface tension measuring device so that if you actually cut like a slit in the packaging, it'll actually, like an alarm somewhere, like goes off in space and
the dye pack goes off.
Yeah, exactly, like some laser beam comes out of the heavens and incinerates your skull or something.
No, the Men in Black just come down and kills you repeatedly.
Seriously. Thank you. There you go. That's Mike Cosmopolis, delivery driver for Scholastic. Thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
That police officer injured during that standoff in the Couve today is identified as Corporate Chris LeBlanc. He's a veteran of the Vancouver Police Department SWAT team. He has non-life-threatening injuries. So that's still going up. They should just go in there and shoot that guy and get it over with. He's wasting too much of everyone's time, really.
Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. What does SWAT stand for?
Oh, I should know that, shouldn't I?
I know what SCUBA stands for, but not SWAT.
SWAT. Specials.
Weapons and training.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Is that it?
I think so. I think you got that one on the first guess.
In your face, everybody. By the way, we have this. Hey, Rick, the guy who called you an idiot is an idiot. QVC stands for Quality Value Convenience. Best show ever, Vicky. Oh, thank you, Vicky. I appreciate that. Rick, about the speed of Harry Potter news. It's not that CNN or Yahoo don't know about the story as it breaks. It's just that they actually have to check their facts and verify their sources. That's why you beat them to the punch every time. That is true. We don't even bother to get a first source for most things. No. Doesn't matter. There's no red flag and a flower pot here.
All right, here's Tim Riley. Yeah, we're going to call in Mr. Paley's office.
Let's make sure that we have the story buttoned up before we go forward.
People want to be entertained. They don't want a civics lesson.
And we live by that. That really is our... We ought to put that on a plaque. We really ought to get some... You know, we don't have... We won't talk about this now because I can already sense it's one of those things that I'll mention and then the audience won't let us talk about anything else for the next hour. But really, at some point, we ought to come up with a motto, either for this show or for the station, and just put it, engrave it on some sort of a brass plate and put it right above the door. You know what I mean? Because the New York Times has all the news that's fit to print.
Mm-hmm.
And then, are there other slogans for other news outlets? That's the only one I can think of. All the news that's fit to print. I don't think that's... I don't think there's anything else. I don't think there's any other...
I don't know what the Oregonians is.
Please buy our... Please. We have to eat.
You'll find, find them on any table you want.
Please pay for this paper. That's their motto. We'll find something and we'll put it above the door. Something. What is it? People want to be entertained. They don't want a civics lesson. Was that what Paley said in Good Night and Good Luck?
Yes.
Yeah. God, what a great movie that is. I'm going to watch that again. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, presidential candidate Denis Kucinich is resting comfortably in the hospital, all because of food poisoning. The Cleveland congressman became ill while flying to a Florida campaign appearance Sunday night. He went into a Cleveland area hospital. I wonder if it was a Cleveland clinic.
Let's hope so.
For treatment after he returned home. It's unknown what caused the food poisoning. His campaign expects him to fully recover, and the congressman will be back on the campaign trail before you know it.
Back to his irritating irrelevance soon enough. What is it? Didn't you have some story the other day that Ralph Nader was going to run again? It's one of those things you teased, and I think we never got to it.
Yeah, well, he teased it.
Now, is that true?
Yeah, he did.
You know, oddly enough, he was interviewed on the Court and Fatboy show a while ago, which is not really like the most, like where you'd think he'd show up. Another thing that Scotty J failed to get for us. But he, he hasn't made any noise. He was talking a couple months ago, and then he just sort of vanished. Like into a puff of thin air, Red Nader today. We haven't heard from that guy at all. So Kucinich kind of is the new Nader, though. You know what I mean? Probably a smart guy in some sense, but he's never going to win anything. And he's just sort of there as like some sort of a human maypole for the hippies to twirl around.
Well, he means well.
Yes, well, don't they all? Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently it's a... Are these all SWAT calls? Please tell me that these are not all calls about SWAT. I know they are. That's the thing. Is without even looking at the screen, I know they are. That's exactly the kind of thing that our audience responds to. All right, I'll just take Scott. Yeah, I'll just take that line right there. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Are you calling about SWAT?
Did you just say in your face?
It's entirely possible. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's tactics. They're not out there training the criminals.
Oh, special weapons and tactics.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean exactly? What are the special weapons that the SWAT team gets?
Sniper rifles, riot gas.
That's pretty cool.
Flashbang.
Excellent. Do they get those
cool stuff?
Yeah. Do they get those great like non-lethal things like that weird foam that they spray on criminals in L.A. that just hardens and immobilizes you?
Yeah, I don't think they use that around here. They still like bullets.
That stuff is so great. And then the microwave that like heats your skin.
Yeah, or they have like these sound waves that'll make you nauseous.
Yeah, we have those too.
Yeah.
That little joke there. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. That's a little bit of humor. Let's see. Hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello.
Hey, Rick. It's Boba Fett.
Hello, sir.
Hey, I just got off work. I heard you talking a little bit about Harry Potter. No,
yes.
I'm not going to talk about SWAT. We have four pallets of that book at where I work.
Uh-huh.
Rhymes with Roscoe. But, yeah, we got four pallets of that in the other day.
You should see.
Come on.
Okay, hold on. Can I just tell you this? Sarah just got what we can only call a million-watt smile on her face just now. You should have seen her eyes just bug out of her head when you said that you had two pallets of the Harry books. So what, are they sealed?
Yeah, it's sealed in black plastic wrap. They had a heart attack earlier today because they were missing two pallets and they didn't know where in the warehouse
it was. Two pallets of Harry Potter books gone. Imagine the sphincter clenching that must have happened.
Yeah, and they're all black wrap. They're labeled, do not open, must not tamper with. Yeah, it's basically it's a huge fine if they find out that, you know, your store has sold any of them.
Well, the thing that I heard, this is what's happening in Britain, is that whoever thought, I mean, even for this show that we'd be talking so much about Harry Potter, it is kind of a great, weird, geeky thing that in America we're spending so much time this week talking about a book. I mean, I really can't remember there was the last time there was so much discussion about a book. I think the only thing that came close was that idiot Da Vinci Code book a few years ago. The thing I heard about in Britain is that they're having a real problem. They think that non-bookstore sales outlets, like convenience stores or whatever they have, like a convenience store in Britain, but stores that aren't bookstores, like convenience stores, gas stations, whatever, they think that they're going to start, that they're going to break the embargo and start selling the Harry Potter book early because the big hammer that Scholastic has had in the past is Scholastic has said, if you sell the Harry Potter book early, you won't get the next one. But, of course, they can't use that this time. There's no threat. All they can do is threaten to, like, give the business a fine or whatever. But I'm not even really sure that the fine is high enough to negate the publicity value that the store would glean from selling the book early. So they said that the Scholastic really doesn't have that. They don't have that big hammer they can use to force people to wait until midnight this time.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know that, you know, we're not a small gas station. So.
Let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how tempted have you been to go by and just, like, slit open the plastic and just take one?
I honestly am not a big Harry Potter fan. Sorry,
right.
But...
Okay, fair enough.
Know, I've been curious just to open it just to see what would happen, but not as to actually take the book.
A swarm of robots just comes out of the aisles and disintegrates
well,
you.
Well, you could probably, you know, hypothetically, you would never do this, but you could probably get away with it because Costco would never say that somebody actually stole them. They'd just probably pay for the cost of it and look the other way.
That's a good point, actually. Now, this is, and
because
again,
they don't want to get in trouble with that company.
We're not encouraging theft. No. But seriously, this is a really interesting question. So, let's, again, if you work at the Roscoe, so let me ask you this. So, let's say you've got a box of 100 Harry Potter books sitting there, you know, sealed in plastic at the Roscoe. They're just sitting there. Now, let's say somebody, not you, of course, breaks the seal on the plastic, reaches inside, grabs one of the Harry Potter books, sticks it under his Mandalorian armor, goes home. Costco comes in the next day, you know, whatever, your manager looks around and says, why, we used to have 100 of these books, but one has been stolen. Is he obligated to tell Scholastic about that, or, in your opinion, is the likelihood that they would just cover the cost out of their own pocket so as not to raise the ire of the publishing company?
Well, the likelihood is they'd just wait until after all sales were final, and then they'd be, like, looking at inventory and then just cut that to lost profit. And then since it was never sold, then the Scholastic would never know about it being taken ahead of time.
You should see the look on Sarah's face right now.
But
stick to the man.
I don't know about sticking it to the man, but I have to work that day. So if she doesn't want to stand in line, I know that there's not going to be a line at Roscoe because there hasn't been ever for any
really,
of the Harry Potters.
Really, honestly, who goes to that store and also reads? Come on.
Yeah, the only time we've ever had a line is, I think, when...
They got dibs! That's what you get
when,
a line for.
When PlayStation came out, I think that was the only time.
Of course.
When PS2 came out, we had, like, maybe 12 people standing there.
I'll let you and Sarah take that up privately and discuss that. It would be wrong for me to... I don't want to encourage or advocate any sort of preferential treatment for anything, so I'll let you guys talk about it. All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. That's an interesting question, though. If somebody in one of the stores...
Wouldn't they get totally screwed by Scholastic?
They would. The store would, I don't want to say cover it up, but they just wouldn't... They would not probably tell Scholastic that a book got snagged because they don't want to get punished. And you got to figure, even as tight as the security is on this book, that there's 10,000 stores. Scholastic can't keep track of it. There's 12 million copies of that book that they've printed, I think. I think that's what I read.
He's a better person than I am. I couldn't just sit there and look at them.
Would you have totally stolen it by now?
Are we talking hypothetically?
Hi, but of course you don't work at Roscoe.
I would have totally taken one.
All right. I mean,
But I would have taken one of my older Harry Potter books and replaced it in there.
Ha!
And then sealed it.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
I got a couple of Alabama-centered stories here.
Is this a Hick Watch?
I suppose it could be.
Here's your Hick Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put
horse bitten slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
This comes to us from Alabama. The pilot injured in an airline's spinning propeller has been identified as Chris Wright, one of the Wright brothers. Wright reportedly had his back to the airplane when another person cranked the engine by hand. The engine started, the airplane moved forward, and Wright was struck in the back of the head by the propeller.
Oh.
Injuries from spinning propellers are frequently fatal, they tell us.
Really?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
The 5-foot-long steel blade was spinning with a power of 150 to 200 horsepower, and even at an idle speed, can remove an arm.
So what happened to him? Is he dead?
No, he's still alive.
Did it,
he was injured.
Did they describe the injury?
No, the back of his head.
Well, really?
Well, this is how much of it do you need, really?
I was just going to say.
And what would you be doing?
You ain't got no back of your head! I'm going to find infinite ways to recycle that.
Just give me my grits.
You ain't got no... What is it she ain't got none of had? Was it arms or legs?
I believe it was arms.
You ain't got no arms! Oh, that's right, because she was using her legs to get them the food from the McDonald's drive-thru. You ain't got no skull cap, Jed. That's so wonderful. Hey, of course, and I just picture that big bald Nazi from Raiders of the Lost Ark, where Indy just like averts his eyes and you just see the blood spatter
right
there.
He looks like Karl Rove.
Swastika, totally. Yeah. He looks like Karl Rove, or he also kind of like a Mr. Clean looking guy, but with the big mustache. Well done, Hick.
All right. Then a 52-year-old Alabama woman has been arrested after she beat and choked a woman to try to get ahead and get on the teacup ride at Disney World. Witnesses say Victoria Walker became enraged after the victim and her children were allowed in front of her for the mad tea party ride. She was questioned after the incident and allowed to return home to Alabama. However, the judge noticed how severe the victim's injuries were, and then they put out an arrest warrant for the Alabama woman. Took too much to catch up to her, and she was picked up on a warrant and transported back to Florida.
Fantastic. You know, it does make... I mean, the teacup ride isn't even any good. If you're going to beat somebody, why not do it for that, like the Space Mountain ride, or that Indiana Jones Adventures ride that they got there. That's pretty great. Or the Tower Terror, or whatever the hell that thing is. All right.
That's the Hick Watch.
There's your Hick Watch for Wednesday.
Copenhagen makes me feel secure. My mouth goes spitting, slobbering on around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good. How about you?
Let's see, and what is this story that somebody sent me from K2? This purports to be some Harry Potter story. This is by Molly Shen. She's the... Oh, this is not from K2, this is from Como.
From the minds of millions of kids around the world this week. The final Harry Potter book comes out in just 3 days, and everyone's talking about it. Everyone, that is, except the folks who might actually know how it ends. ABC's Dean Reynolds on the tight-lipped mystery from a small Indiana town.
Crawfordsville, Indiana has...
I already don't care about the story. Okay. I don't even know what this is. I guess this is maybe like a printing plant or something?
Yeah, maybe so. Or a box plant.
Wait, hold on.
Dean, I guess I would just say that that's privileged information.
We went.
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
They sent on a crew for that.
To Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Yeah.
Right above this, though, there's a tease for a more interesting story. World's fastest man who ain't got no legs aiming for Olympic sport. Amputee sprinter Oscar Pistorius. You ever seen that guy?
No.
Oscar Pistorius? I think he's from South Africa or something. I think he's from Johannesburg someplace. But he ain't got no legs. But he's a sprinter, and he runs on these weird titanium, like, U-shaped prosthetic. They're freaky looking, man. They're just completely... It's insane. You see this guy sprinting by you on these weird metal spring things. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the Senate has blocked the advancement of a measure that would bring U.S. troops home from Iraq by next spring.
The yeas are 52. The nays are 47. 3/5 of the senators duly chosen and sworn not having voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
Really? Honestly?
Yeah.
God, did you see this other thing? By the way, while we're talking about that, let's see here. The Bush administration says, and this is from, what the hell is this from? The Honolulu something or other, some Hawaiian newspaper. The Bush administration says it strongly opposes key military pay and benefit gains Because, you know, what has the military possibly done recently that would earn them more money or benefits? Initiatives the Bush administration opposes include military pay raise of 3.5%. Expanding eligibility for combat-related special compensation. Giving discounts on pharmaceuticals or required medications to injured soldiers. So, there you go.
Senator John McCain says there's a reason why the Democrats lost this round in the Senate.
We all know why. Because they tried to load it up with their agenda on Iraq, knowing full well that in September General Petraeus is coming back and giving a report, and we will have another debate and votes at that time.
Really, I don't think John McCain is really in a position to start.
He's pretty much running out of money.
I was just going to say, lecture people about losing anything.
Although he spent $215 on Dunkin' Donuts.
Did you hear
$3 on Starbucks.
Did you see the amount of money that he's got?
Yeah, I have the whole thing here.
Hillary and Barack have each got like $35 million. I think McCain has got like $400,000. Some unbelievably. Are you going into your news bag?
I'm going into the news bag because I have that graph.
Tim, you have a graph? Really? Do you have a chart?
I certainly do.
That's fantastic.
We
like that episode of WKRP where Bailey Quarters is interviewing that psychiatrist. And as you can see on this chart, and he's holding up like this big pie graph in front of the microphone.
One moment, please, while I find the graph. Oh, here it is. A graph.
Should I with the...
So, John McCain has $2 million left.
Why are you carrying around a political spending graph? In your bag.
I tore it out of the paper on the train.
I love the idea that you're just sort of carrying it around inside your bag should you ever need it.
You're, exactly.
Should you ever be accosted, as you did, apparently. Should you ever be somebody on the max, do you have a political spending graph? Yes, I do.
And here I go.
That's true. I am impressed. It's like, that bag is sort of like the bat utility belt. No matter what, I need a blender, you know, and it's right there.
So John McCain has $2 million left. And originally he had $24 million, which is the lowest. Oh, no, John Edwards only made $23 million, but he has $12 million left. And guess who has the most money?
Democrats or across the board?
Democrats.
It's Obama.
Correct. $58 million, followed by Hillary, $53 million. So Obama has $34 million left, Hillary, $33. John Edwards has $12 million. Mitt Romney, whose finances really don't count because he keeps throwing his own in, according to this graph, has $12 million.
Well, he's just got like an endless, pit, right? That is just like that bucket of money never.
And it shows where most of the donors come, and there's a big circle around the entire state of Utah.
Fantastic. From behind the Zion curtain, as they say. Well, he's sort of like a Mormon Steve Forbes, you know? Just sort of weird, looks like a creepy kind of Ken doll kind of guy, doesn't blink a whole lot.
Well, $300 facials.
Yeah. Exactly. Seems like he has a lot of weird, uninteresting sex through a sheet with his wife.
And since you asked, I'll give you this graph to keep.
Thank you. I might have it laminated. Thank you, Tim. That's wonderful. Oh, that's so great. No, Mitt Romney, you're right. There really is
a big circle around Utah from as far as donations go from Mr. Romney.
Utah and Maine. Those are the two places where Mitt Romney's money is coming from.
Jeez. Which is strange. Maine isn't really that much of a conservative place.
$10 million. Mm-hmm. Jesus, God almighty. All right, well, there you go. All right, here, okay, we got a little bit of time. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Senators Clinton and McCain have opposing views on whether American troops should continue to fight terrorism in Iraq.
11 Reid amendments attempts to put into law a new direction for Iraq, one that I and others believe is long overdue.
That's
fantastic. We can be sure that should the United States seek to legislate an end to the strategy as it is just beginning, then we'll fail for certain.
I didn't hear anything after the new direction part.
Oh, you want to hear it again?
No, that's just the first half of that. That's the return of the new direction. It's been a while since we've had a new direction on the show. That is it's made a stunning and sterling comeback.
11 Reid amendments attempts to put into law a new direction for Iraq,
Fantastic. One that I
and others believe is long overdue.
We can be sure that should the United States seek to legislate an end to the strategy as it is just beginning, then we'll fail for certain.
Excellent. By the way, so somebody sent me this. Now, we were talking about Marissa Tomei earlier in the program, and about I couldn't even remember what year she won, and I couldn't remember who she was up against. Does anybody remember?
No.
No. So here we go. The year, I feel like I need some sort of like some flashback music. The year was 1992.
The year was 1992. The month was July.
What were you doing just then?
I was doing the old Bill Drake.
Oh, okay. I had no idea where we were going with that. 1992.
The history of rock and roll.
Does anybody remember? Bobby Soxers were everywhere. Fabian was number one on the charts. Does anybody remember what won the best picture in 1992?
I don't remember that year at all.
It's a blur, isn't it? The early 90s to me, like, I remember stuff from earlier. Yeah. I remember stuff from the 80s real well, and I remember stuff in the last 10 years. The early to mid 90s to me are just kind of a blur. I can never remember when anything came out in that period of time.
Well, the early 90s were kind of a dumping ground for whatever was left from the late 80s.
It is true. It is
pretty
true.
Much.
And everything in the early 90s was either leftover hack work from the previous 5 years or. It was like a weird. That was like indie film was just starting to come into the mainstream then, a couple years before Pulp Fiction, which I think is the watershed. Best picture of the year? Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood's masterwork, which is fantastic. That's a brilliant film. Here's what it was up against. Scent of a Woman, A Few Good Men. I didn't realize A Few Good Men was nominated for Best Picture. Good for you, Aaron Sorkin. Howard's End, a movie that no one ever saw. And, of course, that year's big scandalous film, The Crying Game. Boy, is there anybody that did not know that that woman had a penis the entire time? Seriously. I mean, a big ass like Adam's apple and so forth. Who was fooled by that?
That was the end culture of that decade.
It's true. That was Gabriel Byrne, wasn't it? Yeah. Let's see. I realize I'm just becoming some retarded show where I'm reading a list of crap. But we'll get to the Marissa Tomei thing. So this is Oscar stuff from 1992. Because we were having this whole debate about Marissa Tomei and that urban legend about how she won the film or won the Best Supporting Actress Oscar in 92. Let's see. Best Actor nominees in 1992. This really is a trip down memory lane, both good and bad. Some real strong performances here. The 1992 performance by Best Actor. The nominees were Robert Downey Jr. for Chaplin. Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven. Here's the problem with Chaplin, by the way. The problem with that movie Chaplin is that he didn't stay, the Chaplin character, they didn't linger enough on the cute face. Like, it was sort of him as a young man, and then it was him as, like, an old guy who just had a bunch of bastard children. And there was, like, about 5 minutes in the middle where he was the little tramp character. And that's the only part anybody really cares about. Robert Downey Jr.'s Chaplin, Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman, Stephen Rea in The Crying Game, and Denzel Washington in Malcolm X, which is inexplicably overlooked for Picture of the Year. That doesn't make any sense at all. The hell is that about? You know what? Just as a protest for that, 15 years of the fact, we're going to play the Malcolm X speech tomorrow. That's what we'll start the show with. Al Pacino won for Scent of a Woman. Boy, goddamn, that's not a very good film, though. Scent of a Woman's kind of an embarrassing film to watch. Scent of a Woman, I believe that might be the turning point where Al Pacino just descended into getting on screen and just becoming like a weird, badly drawn caricature of himself all the time. I just don't like, and that's Chris O'Donnell, right? Isn't he the school kid in that movie? Which is not terribly good. Let's see. And here's where, listen to this now. For the performance by an actress in a leading role, 1992. It's a whole list of actresses you can't remember in movies you've never seen. Catherine Deneuve in Indochine? Indochine? Indochine.
I thought we were talking about Melissa Tomei.
I have Tomei poisoning. Mary McConnell in Passion Fish. No one has seen any of these movies. Michelle Pfeiffer in Love Field. Susan Sarandon in Lorenzo's Oil. These all sound like made-up movies that they would use in a movie about the movies.
Lorenzo's Oil?
Sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Passion Fish. Who's on Passion Fish? This is exactly like if you
Those are like the worst names for movies ever.
If you were watching some sort of soap dish type movie that was itself about the industry and they were doing a fake Oscar sequence, this is the movies they'd be mentioning. Michelle Pfeiffer in Love Field. Susan Sarandon in Lorenzo's Oil. And the winner, Emma Thompson, who's hot, in Howard's End. I don't know anything about that movie. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about the title, and that it seems like something I never want to watch.
Those are bad titles, all of them.
Supporting actors that year. Jay Davidson in The Crying Game, Gene Hackman in Unforgiven, Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men, Al Pacino in Glengarry Glen Ross, David Paymer in Mr. Saturday Night, and Hackman won. And here we go. This is the actress. Judy Davis. More movies that no one has seen. Judy Davis in Husbands and Wives. Now, that's a good movie, though. But no one has ever seen it. It's one of the overlooked Woody Allen films. Judy Davis is also hot. Joan Plowright. Sounds like a porn film. Joan Plowright in Enchanted April. Miranda Richardson in Damage. Vanessa Redgrave in Howard's End. I realize now this is a tedious bit. And finally, Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny. That's because it's the only movie of any of these that was seen by anyone. I think she just won out of sheer... And this is just sort of, it's by default. She just won by attrition. Nobody saw any of these other films. 1992 was just a bad year. Looking at this right here, just terrible. All right, I'm going to close this and never read it again. I apologize for the last 6 minutes.
It was an uneventful year.
Really. It really was.
I believe that was the year that Singles came out, wasn't it?
Probably. I mean, the only films... I mean, they have Glengarry Glen Ross. Unforgiven's a good film. Malcolm X is good. Everything else, crap. I don't like Son of a Woman. I just don't. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
I just wanted to ask how the Rick Emerson Show is treating spoilers for Harry Potter. I don't want to be nervous about listening.
Now, were you listening yesterday when we discussed Harry Potter and the leaking of Same?
No.
Now, see, this is now your own fault, my friend. What is your excuse for not listening yesterday?
Oh, well, I was in the hospital, high fever.
You're lying. You're making this up.
Well, what else can I say?
You're giving
a gunshot wound.
You're giving really vague symptoms for something. I had flu-like symptoms. Were you really in the hospital?
Oh no.
What was your?
Do I have to be nervous or not? I am getting nervous because I had the Dumbledore thing spoiled for me last time.
No, we'll get to that in just a second. Now, were you listening to a competing radio program yesterday, or are you just not listening to the radio?
Right?
I'm just asking.
I don't know.
What was so compelling that it took your attention away from the Rick Emerson Show yesterday?
K-Love.
I don't know. I probably did listen to you yesterday. I just didn't hear anything about...
The program is just
so... drive to work. I didn't hear anything about Harry Potter.
The program is just so uninteresting that you can't remember whether you listened or not. I see. Okay, that's fine, friend. I understand. I see how it is in your world. No, just for the record, I don't know, strictly speaking, that you now deserve to be told this information, but no, we are spoiler-free on this program, and if anybody should call up and give Harry Potter spoilers, we'll dump them using the magic of our 40-second delay.
I'm very proud of you.
All right. You going to listen tomorrow?
All the time. Go on. Without worries.
I don't really believe you. I think you're saying this just to placate me.
Never.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. Let's see. This is Ed McCarthy. Well, screw it. We can't break now. We're just going to do that thing. We're just going to plunge on ahead is what we're going to do. By the way, you're listening to KCMD Portland. Hello. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the South, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Hello, Ed.
How are you, sir? I thought you were either psychic or you had caller ID. I wasn't sure.
You mean just because I knew who you were without being screened?
Yes, that's right.
Well, you're calling on the guest line, which we reserve for only those closest to our hearts.
Well, I feel honored.
Well, it's what you know. We haven't talked to you in a while. You've been out doing a thing. You've been gone. What have you been doing?
Yeah, you know, a little off for a little while and back. But you know, I've got kind of probably got the wacky hours now. I guess maybe they don't kind of fit into your schedule. I don't know.
You got that thing where you're working. What is it? You're working like. Month Sunday through Thursday or something?
Tuesday through Saturday.
It's
kind of strange, but anyway.
Let me ask you this. Are there a lot of news stations that you're talking to on a Saturday?
No.
It's like you're sitting in a room somewhere drinking out of a bottle of gin, looking at the clock.
I'm here. I'm here at the CNN Center on Saturday, so.
That's the sound of a devoted worker right there. I'm here.
I am here at the fabulous CNN Center.
Let's talk about Michael Vick. Boy, you want to talk about a guy... That just look, and I know that. I mean, are you a Falcons fan?
Well, you know, I am. Obviously, living in Atlanta for so long, you know, we follow them.
Is this guy just a living, breathing embarrassment to you all?
It's amazing. It really is, and I think a lot of people are starting to get the hint. But what I'm liking a lot more now is that the NFL with this new commissioner Roger Goodell. Cracking down on people that are really tarnishing the game or giving them a bad name.
And I understand that they sort of turned a blind eye to a lot of the shenanigans this guy's been involved in, but I want to dwell on the gruesome details of this.
It's been disgusting to watch this today. All day long it's been on TV.
And if you're
an animal lover, you hate to see this.
And so we'll kind of spare people just the unpleasant details of this case, because there's no point. But this idiot Michael Vick, who I think flat out denied, I think it was either to the coach or to the team owner, last year, flat. They said, "Hey, are you involved in some some highly illegal, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars being wagered on this, you know, somewhere in a basement dogfighting ring?" And the guy said, "Well, of course not. I would never be involved." And they flat out denied it. And then, of course, you know, they found out that is the case. And so is he the sort of ringleader of this thing, or is he just a participant?
Well, that was the question. Immediately when that was asked, he said, "Well, you know, I just rent the place, and I'm really not responsible for what goes on when I'm not there." Uh-huh. But, well, a federal indictment got some people that actually had him placed there, and according to this, actually had him participating in the tragic circumstances surrounding the deaths of these dogs.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get into it because it just makes me sick to my stomach, but it was just horrific.
And seriously, you want to talk about a guy that just, and this is my opinion only, just my editorial comment here, this guy ought to just be taken out back and just punched repeatedly in the face with something really heavy. I mean, and I don't mean to pick on the guy because he's an athlete, but seriously, I mean, you got like $1 jillion, you're world famous, you're an athlete. I mean, can't you find something better to do with your time? And really, here's the other thing, and I know that people say that, you know, that there are people who think that we will overreact to things like that, but here's the thing. The problem I have with some guy who engages in some sort of awful animal mistreatment like this, and mistreatment is actually too that's an understatement, that's too subtle of a word for this.
It really is.
Some guy who engages in this sort of animal cruelty, the bigger problem, I have a problem with that that behavior in and of itself, but also, I mean, there is something really wrong with somebody. I mean, somebody who engages in, allows, participates in, furthers that kind of mistreatment of animals, there's something really broken inside somebody like that. And, you know, it's like the kid you find setting fire to the neighborhood cat. You know, somebody who sets fire to the neighborhood cat isn't going to stop with cats. And somebody who allows that kind of thing to happen, or who actively participates in the abuse of animals like this, clearly is somebody who, you know, probably in, at least in their head, doesn't stop with animals.
You know, his brother Marcus Vick, who also played, he was drummed out of Virginia Tech, and you know, it's just a trouble wherever he went. And Vic has been able to skate on a lot of things and move on, but sometimes I guess when you have that star status, maybe you think you're a little bit bigger for your britches than you are.
Well, so what is going to happen? Is the team going to kick him off, or is he going to get prosecuted, or both, or neither?
The irony is that he has a bond hearing on July 26th. Now, that's going to be the same day that the Falcons training camp opens. You'll have some players that are already in mini camp, but that's when the high-profile players are going to go. They did not have any arrest warrants for this, but Vic and his co-defendants, they will be appearing in court. So, you know, the Falcons have not said anything about this except, we're watching things. And the NFL, they call the alleged activities cruel, degrading, and illegal. And they said the allegations would be reviewed under the NFL's personal conduct policy. But, stakeouts today, we had Amanda Moyer up there in Flowery Branch. They sent her up this morning, and which meant I could sleep in because I only live 15 minutes from the Falcons training camp. They did not say anything today at all, so very, very close-lipped.
Is he, and I don't know much about sports, is he a good enough player to mitigate this? Is it worth it to the Falcons?
I don't think that in this day and age, under the Roger Goodell rule, the new NFL commissioner, that it matters who you are. I really honestly think that the NFL is going to come down hard here. And, I think the Falcons are probably right now huddling, trying to figure out what they're going to do. They have, a couple of quarterbacks in the camp that, that probably one will be a starter, will be, he played for Joey Harrington, he played for the Lions and played for the Miami Dolphins. So right now, if you're a betting man, you'll say Joey Harrington's going to be the game one starter. It's pretty obvious that some suspensions will come down the line here on this thing.
All right. CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, as always, my friend, it's a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
I will, Rick. Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, my friend. Ed McCarthy, there you go, in Atlanta. Too long to talk to him. All right, yeah. So F that guy. I'm putting him in the book right now. I'm just taking a second. So
yeah, that's very disturbing.
I know you don't care about sports. Did you read the story? I would
what Laura was babbling to me about today.
Seriously.
It sounded awful. Like, as soon as she started talking about me, I don't want to know anymore.
Yeah, we just skirted the details, especially with Tim in the room, because Tim, I know, goes really mental, as do we all. But Tim especially goes mental about people who mistreat, specifically dogs. And this guy clearly is just a worthless human being. He obviously is just a terrible person. And, I mean, there is just something incredibly defective about people who find that to be amusing. You know what I mean? It's just, somebody ought to just hit reset on people like that as soon as they come out of the womb. Let's see. Hold on. I'm putting him in the book. Michael Vick. Atlanta Falcon. Atlanta. He's going in the book of people who will be dealt with at the appropriate time and who will get what's coming to them. Atlanta Falcon. Worthless human. Worthless human dog fighter. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Fantastic. And
well, half that page is full.
No, I got a lot of hate. All right, so we'll put that over there. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we're late, so we might as well get this next thing done, and then we'll take a break. Let me just find this news story over here. Hold on, just one second. Let me load up the appropriate bed here. Hold on, one second. Please forgive me while I find the.
Are you trying to find your popcorn?
I am. No, I'm not. I'm finding the news that hurts bed. As we discuss the next phase of it's the second worst story you've ever heard. I am gonna fire the popcorn bed here for just one second though while I have a swig of Vizo. Don't go anywhere. There we go.
I love that song.
I really, did I ever send you that webpage? It has nothing but versions of that song.
Oh,
It's literally like 300 different versions of the popcorn song.
That'd be too much.
All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. No, in answer to your question, Scotty, I didn't quite finish the... Let me just finish. All right. Now I'm done. All right, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen, as we once again endeavor to discover what is the second worst story in the history of the world. So here's the way we play our game. We're going to read two news stories, one horrific, one perhaps equally horrific, perhaps more so. As we end the second story, you will call this number, 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970, and you will vote on which story you find to be the most horrific, terrible, awful, no good, very bad, and generally off-putting. Story number one or story number two. Now, as you may remember, there was a little bit of scandal a few weeks ago when it turned out that the new champion was, in fact, a completely and wholly fictitious story. Turns out that it was a hoax, it was a forgery, and that was this. A woman who ripped off her ex-boyfriend's testicle and then spat it out in the midst of a party has been sent to prison. Now, it's an awful story, but unfortunately it turns out that it's not real. It turns out that the story was made whole cloth out of nothing. So we're going to put that over here. So what I'm going to do now is I will read our current champion in our hunt for the second worst story of all time. Then I will read the follow-up. I will read the challenger. As I read the challenging story, you will call 503-733-2970 and vote on which story you find to be the worst. Story number one and reigning champion. German man impaled on plunger. A German man almost died after using a sink plunger as a bath plug and impaling himself after slipping on a bar of soap. Dieter Bayer, age 79, decided to use the plunger because he, quote, could not find the bathtub plug, end quote. But as he stood up to soap himself, he slipped and fell heavily on the plunger, wedging the long wooden handle up his backside. His wife, 68, rushed to the bathroom when she heard him howling in pain and was unable to pull him free despite repeated attempts. As she described it, I could pull him halfway off the plunger and he would slip out of my grasp and fall back down on the plunger again. An ambulance spokesman said, there was a lot of blood. The injury was very serious. He could have died. Doctors operated for 8 straight hours to repair the damage, and it'll be at least 2 weeks before he can leave the hospital. There you go. That's story number one and the reigning champion. Here is story number two. As we proceed through story number two, call 503-733-2970 and register your vote for which story you define to be the worst. So there's story number one. Here is story number two. This is from Carbondale, Colorado. From the Associated Press. Doctors thought the strange bleeding bumps on Aaron Dallas's head. That's a great way to start a story. Doctors thought the strange bleeding bumps on Aaron Dallas's head might be from gnat bites or shingles. Here comes the money sentence. Then the bumps started moving.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A doctor found fly larvae living beneath the skin on Dallas's head. Dallas said, I'd put my hand back there and feel the bumps moving around. I thought it was blood coursing through my head. I could hear them moving. I thought I was going crazy. Dallas said he likely received the larval infestation on a trip to Belize this summer. Larval infections are not uncommon in parts of Central and South America. This is from the bot fly. Adult bot flies are hairy and look like bees without bristles. The larvae were living in a pit on his scalp 2 to 3 millimeters wide. They were removed on Thursday. After a specialist told him he might have shingles, Dallas tried different creams and salves, but the pain only got worse. He said, I would get this pain in my head and I would drop to my knees. The doctor said, when I saw him again, it was pretty obvious something else was going on. He said, I could see the spots moving on his head. There's an open pit on his head and you could see it sort of moving around.
Oh my God.
His wife teased him about it, saying, I will love you through your maggots. And now you know the rest of the story. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We will take your votes now about which you find to be the worst story. Story number one or story number two. Story number one, German man impaled on plunger. Story number two, squirming larvae pulled from man's head in Colorado. It's 503-733-2970. We'll just go through a couple banks of phone calls here and see where the people come down. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst, sir?
Number two, because it can happen to anyone and everyone.
All right.
Stay off the trail. Stay in your home.
All right. Thank you. All right. Larvae are going to kill us all. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst? Hi there. All right. Thanks so much. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
The plunger. Most definitely the plunger.
All right. Any particular reason, sir?
The clincher was the repeated falling.
And the fact that his hands are kind of soapy. And his wife, hold on, I think I've got it. And then he slips through and back down again. All right. Thank you.
Awful.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Hi, it's Jim, the lawyer from a couple days ago. I find number one to be worse.
So-called lawyer. All right, number one, thank
so-called,
you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, bye
caught.
Now. Okay. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello. All right. Hi. So,
it's story number one is still the worst.
Really? Okay. Thank you. All right, bye now. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Dude, story number two made my head crawl. My head itches right now.
Let's all stop to scratch.
I'm going with that one, dude.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
503-733-2970. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Oh, my God. Best show ever?
Yes, thank
you. As soon as you said Colorado, I knew you had a new champion. Number two.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Hi, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Absolutely the second one, but that colon story you had a bit ago, that one's kind of bad, too.
Did we get the plunger story?
Oh, no, the one about the kid at the bottom of the pool.
Oh,
the
one.
That's pretty foul, too.
Here's the thing about that story from a couple weeks ago about the kid in the pool with the drain and the colon. That story is actually so bad that we shredded it and we've decided to never read it again.
I see. Well, that's fair enough. It's pretty damn bad.
That jersey is hanging in the rafters already.
All
right. Thank you. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Number two.
All right. Thank you.
And it's my lunchtime.
Happy lunch eating. Have some bread pudding. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Oh, God damn, number two. I don't think there's any need to vote. Oh, my God.
I like the visceral horror I can hear in your voice.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
That's what I do. All right, I will do one more bank here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Well, even though I'm eating macaroni and cheese at the moment, I have to say that still the old plunger up the wazoo has to do it.
All right, excellent. Now, is that simply because when you hear the story, you sort of put yourself in his place and you're imagining what the sensation might be?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Hi, it's close. It's almost tied. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
I'd say number one, because number two, it's not like that guy never shampooed his head to get some of that rig stuff, you know? number one's much worse. The double slip down onto that thing, like the clincher like that other guy.
All
horrible.
Right. Excellent.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, we'll finish out this bank. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Number two, simply because I'm eating lunch right now.
Oh, good times.
Anna, I hate you.
All right, have some tapioca.
Huh.
All right. Three more calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Number two with the maggots, because that guy put that plunger in there himself.
That's our theory, by the way. Simply a theory. No one decides to stop the drain. But that's like those guys who have those accidents with the vacuum cleaner around the house.
Yeah.
You know, when they don't realize there's a propeller a couple inches in. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right. Two more calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Things to do with maggots in your head.
That's funny. Well done. Final call. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Which do you find to be the worst? All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which call? The last one. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Well, for the heterosexual audience that you have, I would say number one has got to be the worst.
I would say pretty much for every... Look, no one wants anything splintery in any part of their body. I think that cuts across all boundaries in this society, sir. All right, thank you. And we'll take a vote from Sarah Dillon. Sarah Dillon, which story do you find to be the worst?
I think the plunger one's worse.
Really?
Yeah, because the bug one's pretty gross, but, I mean, that just sounds like poor hygiene, and that seems like it could be taken care of pretty easily. It's grosser, but having... No.
It was close. It was close, but by a single vote, we have a new champion, Squirming Larvae, pulled from man's head. Let's read it one more time, shall we, and then we'll close out the break with this. Dateline Carbondale, Colorado, from the Associated Press. You on your lunch break might want to listen up for this. Doctors thought the strange bleeding bumps on Aaron Dallas's head might be from gnat bites or shingles. Then the bumps started moving.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
A doctor found active fly larvae living beneath the skin on top of Dallas's head. Sarah's scratching herself as we speak. So am I, actually. He said, I'd put my hand back there and feel them moving. I thought it was blood coursing through my head. I could actually hear them sometimes. I thought I was going crazy. Dallas said he likely received the larval infestation while on a trip to Belize this summer. Adult botflies are hairy and look like bees. The larvae, which are about one-third the size of a penny, were living in a pit on the back of his scalp. When I saw him again, said the doctor, it was pretty obvious something else was going on, said Dr. Kimball Spence, who could see the spots moving on Dallas's head. There's an open pit, and I could see it moving around. Dallas's wife, Midge Dallas, teased him about it, saying, I will love you through your maggots. All right, back after this. The Rick Emerson Show continues next with Tim Riley. Later on the Top 5, Mr. Skinner will talk to Powell's Bookstore about Harry Potter 70. Stay there. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we'll talk to Powell's City of Books
about Harry Potter 7 coming up. Have I talked about Neil Sedaka yet today?
No, isn't he coming to the coast or something?
He is, Tim Riley. And I think we should set Scotty J on his trail. Since, you know, apparently Dick Van Patten's been put off until later in the year, and everybody else is just sort of evaporated into thin air. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk to Mr. Skin here in a few minutes as well. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The OLCC slaps a $900, make that a $9,900 fine on the Voodoo Lounge. This establishment is at 53 Northwest 1st Street. They've been charged with a long history, a laundry list of problems, including fighting, biting, and stabbing.
I don't know. That's not the Voodoo Donuts place.
No, it's a different place.
53 Northwest 1st?
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is.
So that's right on north of Burnside on 1st Avenue.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the Chinatown part?
Yeah. It's where you can go to find biting, fighting and stabbing.
Oh, that place.
Knives, glass, and bottles are used. Patron staff and police have been injured. The Voodoo Lounge says they're going to close the business for remodeling and reopen with a new fine dining venue called Bubbles and Blue.
Fine dining. Is that a play on words?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Fine dining. God and archery. A Beaverton church wants to have archery for its parishioners. This is the Southwest Bible Church. They say shooting arrows at targets is a great family activity. Why is it safer than bowling, basketball, and many other sports? It's geared for safety, say the reverends who run it. Apparently, they started this in 2003 until they found out that the city prohibits shooting an arrow within city limits.
I didn't know that, really.
In Beaverton, yeah, you may not shoot an arrow in city limits. So they're going to go back and fight this. An Oklahoma rodeo cowboy was killed this weekend when the bull stepped on his head. This is the Prague Rodeo. Apparently, this cowboy's been riding bulls for several years, and they just found out his wife, the wife of the dead cowboy, is pregnant.
Well, okay. Well, you know, maybe the bulls don't like it. Maybe if you thought about that, Chester, maybe...
Why wouldn't it hurt to have some strap tied around your nabs?
I was just going to say, maybe... Look, I don't mean to sound uncaring about this, but maybe you shouldn't climb on top of a wild animal and kick it repeatedly in the scrotum, when the whole point of that is obviously to make the thing angry, and then... I mean, there's a reason that it's hard to stay
Sometimes
on...
Sometimes the bull wins.
There's a reason it's hard to stay on a bull, or a bronco, or whatever, because it's trying to get you off of it, because it doesn't enjoy having you there, and having a huge elastic band put around its testicles. So, maybe you ought to rethink what you do for entertainment there, in America's heartland, Tex. I mean, seriously, for the love... I mean, there's just certain things... certain things that I think we should have figured out, but it's like these idiots. We'll talk to Kastenbaum again about this tomorrow, because he said he watched the running of the bulls at one, but is there anybody anywhere that has any, like, zero sympathy? I have zero sympathy for these, for the running of the bulls guys, just like the rodeo guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to get them and run from a thing that has razor-sharp horns and weighs 9 million pounds.
He just wanted to put on a good show for his son.
Well...
He wanted to quit bull riding, but his son came up and said he wanted to be just like his dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Did the son do it by, like, tugging at his shirt sleeve?
Uh-huh.
Did he have like a piece of straw coming out of his teeth, and did
or
the screen section come up behind him? But please, Daddy. Yeah, seriously. I mean, I really don't mean to sound unsympathetic, but it's just hard to feel sorry for that guy.
Sometimes you just get your head stepped on by a bull.
Good God Almighty. All right.
So let's get back to this foolishness that's going on at the White House. Press Secretary Tony Snow said the Senate didn't accomplish much with its all-night session after the the Republicans voted down that whole mess. Where's the soundbite for this? Here it is.
It may be a healthy debate. It's also likely to be theatrical. What's interesting is that the Senate's going to hold this debate, but it's not going to vote on defense authorization to support the troops.
Yeah.
It is a debate in pursuit of what? We want to see Congress go ahead also and do its basic business, which is fund the government and not try to suspend consideration of things like defense authorization and appropriations, because those are also vital for moving forward.
Yeah, so there. I think we nailed it when we were talking with Dick Uliano that, I mean, the reason this is pointless is not because the Democrats aren't going to be able to sway public opinion. They probably will, but it's that the public opinion is already swayed.
everybody, I mean, look, let's just be honest, the vast majority of Americans, however they thought about it before, are now opposed to the war and realize that it's just a colossally dunderheaded maneuver.
Yes.
But it is the Bush administration just doesn't really seem to care. I mean, his approval rating is down into the 20s now. Opposition to the war is at something like 68%. He clearly, it just doesn't matter to him. That's the thing. He's just going to he's going to boldly plunge on ahead, not unlike our German friend.
And how is it that we're spending $12 billion a month, and we're still not safe from terrorists?
I don't understand how we can spend $12 billion a month and still keep the lights on in this country. I mean, I'm not like the sharpest knife in the drawer.
From China.
Well, is that? I mean,
and they in turn send us poisoned food.
I think. how much for the glass-filled candy, sir? I know I talked about this with Lisa Goddard at one point, and she tried to explain it. She even spoke slowly and used small words, but I'm just not that smart. I don't understand, and please don't call about it now because it's pointless to waste this amount of any amount of airtime on it, but I don't understand who we owe money to.
The Chinese.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So we borrowed money from China?
Yes.
Well, I mean, do they know we're not going to pay it back? I mean, seriously, do these countries
pay it back, we'll continue to buy goods from them because they make everything now.
But, I mean, these countries, and I'm not trying to...
No, we have to pay it back.
This is not a shtick. I'm not trying to be kooky about this. Do we really borrow money from other countries?
Yes, because we don't have any.
So
we're the biggest debtor nation.
When these countries lend us money, do they really think we're going to pay it back? I mean, do they know that's never going to happen? Because clearly we're never going to pay it back. I mean, what are you, high? I mean, what are they going to do? You owe us money. Come get it. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jingoist about it, but I'm saying...
No, but the Chinese can now invade Taiwan as they wanted to do for quite some time, and we can't do anything about it because we owe them money.
See, but I don't think that's true. I know how the American mindset works. I know how Americans think, and I know how our American government thinks. So the deal is that, like, Luxembourg... We'll give us a bunch of money. We'll never pay it back. But we still will have no compunction about just bombing them into pieces if they do something to displease us. I mean, it doesn't seem like whether we owe money to China or not, that didn't really stop us from engaging in military activity anywhere. It just seems, you want to talk about a country that's the... Why would anybody lend us money? There's no worse credit risk on the planet than
us. Well, the Chinese didn't know that. They just run a credit check.
They checked with TRW, and we came up as like a 900 or whatever. All right, well, whatever. I mean, I wouldn't lend us money. I mean, lending us money is like lending your deadbeat brother-in-law with a Coke habit money. There's just no reason to ever do that. All right, well, whatever. I've exhausted all the comedy I can out of this bit. All right, it's Tim Ryan.
Well, let's talk about John Travolta in the new movie version of Hairspray. He plays Edna Turnblad. And he was asked if he found singing and dancing to be exhausting.
It was exhausting because I had a fat suit on. But on
That's
the other
no
hand,
suit.
It was... exhilarating, and it got me in shape again, and I lost some weight.
He sounds like he's in shape. Doesn't that guy sound like it's a strain to just open his mouth enough for the words to come out?
Mm-hmm.
Like just opening his jaw so the air can escape from his lungs taxes that guy and gives him a heavy sheen of perspiration.
Donald Trump said he really didn't want Rosie to be on The Apprentice like he asked the other day. He wasn't totally serious about the invitation, even though she turned him down.
In a kidding fashion, as you know, I think, he suggested that we'll get Rosie to go on the show. And he was kidding. And I can't imagine Rosie would accept. But if she would, that would be a lot of fun.
Whatever.
All of a sudden, it would be a lot of fun.
Sure. This email says, Rick, don't be a dork. China buys our treasury bills. Like anybody on the show knows what that means.
Scotty must know.
Does
anyone know what that means?
Yes.
Do you really know what
we
that means?
Treasury bills for sale.
What does that mean?
We've talked about the Scotty and Tim with the grown-ups.
It's like buying shares of a bank or a stock fund.
What does that... Okay.
They're pieces of paper
so
that say they're worth something.
China buys a treasury bond from us for, let's say, $1 billion.
Yeah.
They have a thing somewhere in a vault.
And it says, let this mature at a certain rate, and then you cash it in at a certain point.
And so then we'll pay them back $1.5 billion someday.
Right.
Now,
that's how cities finance projects. They sell bonds.
So China effectively lent us some money, and then we're going to pay it back with interest
later.
Well,
they bought bonds.
But
they paid for that.
Which they can then cash in later for the principal plus the interest.
Mm-hmm.
But we're clearly never going to pay that back, right?
No, I mean, they cash them in early and get out of this.
But I mean, if China just says pay this back, like, does the government just say no?
I don't know. It depends on what the Chinese do.
I do find this kind of interesting, actually, because it's sort of like that episode of The Sopranos where what's-his-name, the record producer, owed Tony all that money. Or I'm sorry, rather, where Tony Soprano owed all of that money to the record producer, to Jerry, what's-his-name? And Tony owed the guy like 400 grand, and at a certain point, Tony decided it was easier just to kill the guy. Tony's like, I don't want to pay him that 400 grand. I'll just have him whacked. Let's see, Rick. Boy, do I love parasite stories, especially multi-cell things like larvae and worms. Also, people are starting to call Hilton supporters parasites. Oh, that's funny. Parasites.
We're not talking about celebrities this week. We're sick and tired of them.
Further on, then I'll move on. Further on Harry Potter speculation, do you suppose he's still locked under the stairs with the evil stepfamily and this is all just a fantasy cooked up while they were out with the fat little bastard? It would parallel Rowling's real situation with her husband who kicked her out after telling her that her book idea was stupid. Yeah, how dumb do you think that guy feels, her first husband? You and your stupid book that's never going to... Make me a scone! You know, just... give me a shepherd's pie! Just telling her that her idea was retarded. I wonder if she just calls that guy up in the middle of the night and just snickers. Or just stops by his house and offers to give him a few quid to help him through to the next payday. Yeah, F that guy. All right, what are we doing here? Really? Is there a guy calling about treasury bills?
Let's hear it.
You think? I'm going to flip.
It's going to be a little deep.
I'm going to flip.
It's going to be a little deep.
Flip a coin here. I can tell when you know that I've wandered into water that's above my head.
Yeah.
I know that you're a grown-up and I'm not. I'm fully aware of these things.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
No, it really
does. It's areas of expertise.
It is.
That's true. Rick and I have talked about this. No, we're all like, you guys are homeowners.
We all know a lot about a lot. We all have our areas of interest.
There is a yin and a yang on the show.
We all excel at certain points.
Well... my points are far more specialized and stupid. I'm just saying you and Scotty are really the mature half of this program.
You guys look at each other's houses on the internet.
Seriously, I go into the kitchen sometimes, and Tim and Scotty are engaging in like these long, like really intelligent discussions about real estate and the housing market and finance, and they're discussing Roth something or Keo something or other. And meanwhile, Sarah and I are like, do you want to go get some Easy Mac at the Plaid Pantry? It's on sale for $1.
Those are important topics also.
I appreciate you being nice to me and saying so. Hold on, let me just... Heads, I'll take the call. Tails, nope, sorry, Chris. Not taking your treasury bill call today. Thank you.
But then we'll never know.
I'm never going to know anyway.
That's true, I don't really understand.
He could come and act it out with, like, little Fisher-Price things, you know, and,
so
like, a dry erase board.
We borrowed money and...
How about we use little Legos?
Well, that's... help? Like in traffic court?
Like, the red one could be the Chinese and the blue one could be Americans. That might help. If anybody wants to make a video...
The red one can be the Chinese, of course.
But they are the red Chinese.
Are they really the red Chinese?
They're still communists.
I didn't think they were...
We're trying to indoctrinate them into capitalist ways.
I thought they'd become something else.
Well, no, they're like smorgasbord capitalists, kind of like Catholics here. They pick and choose what they want, but they're still communists deep down.
I know you want to say they, it's like a one from column A, two from column B kind of thing.
Yes.
I know that's exactly how you want to phrase it.
That's correct, yes.
All right. Let's see. We've got many Neil Sedaka emails. And you know what they all say? Here's what they all say. They all say variations on this. Rick, if you can get Neil Sedaka on the show, why not have him nibble on Scotty's ear? Every Neil Sedaka email I'm reading right now has something about him kissing Scotty. Rick, if Scotty balks at being kissed by Neil Sedaka, ask him about the times that he wore assless chaps. Neil Sedaka? I don't think Neil Sedaka wears assless chaps.
Was he talking about Scotty's brother?
You know, I don't know. We should probably just plunge on ahead. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about something else entirely. According to a new poll from the American Association of Justice, people here in the Northwest consider themselves middle class and are very glum about the future.
They're concerned about corporate misconduct as a major source of that anxiety, and they think the civil justice system is an important place to hold wrongdoers accountable.
All I heard was something about the Legion of Justice, and he's holding wrongdoers accountable.
Yes.
Are we interviewing superheroes?
No.
This is... people in the Northwest are glum?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's correct. Nigerian puppy scams are now underway. You probably... and I have not. I wish I did. You probably have received an email from some Nigerian offering you riches if just send them a check.
I've got that.
Now, there's the Nigerian puppy scam, but they're only doing this to the people in Iowa for some reason. The deal goes like this. You get an email pointing you to a website. Once there, you get a bunch of sweet pictures of adorable puppies that are allegedly up for adoption. You give the site your credit card information, and then the dog never arrives. What could be crueler?
Stunned.
They're only doing this to people in Iowa. Their attorney general said the scam has been around for a while. Now, he explains that quite a few people have been bilked out of money by these online Nigerian dog crooks.
It's always Nigerian.
It really is. I was
well,
just
they're
thinking
a creative
that.
Bunch.
Well, I mean, no, and again, I'm not the I'm not being merry about that. I think that is a statistical fact that the overwhelming bulk of these scams come from Nigeria. I read a piece, I believe, in the New York Times about how this is kind of funny, actually, that one of the fastest growing types of music in Nigeria is a sort of like a dancehall kind of rap, but it's a specific kind of rap, and the rap is all about literally. It is a whole genre of music in Nigeria that is a form of hip-hop where the lyrical content is about swindling Americans out of their money on the internet. And they sell whole CDs called, like, I've Built Whitey Out of a Bunch of Money, Volume 5, or whatever. And it's Nigerian rap, but the songs are all about how you've swindled Americans out of their cash on the web, which is great.
That's bizarre.
Which is just, I mean, it is kind of fantastic, actually. So, you know, the thing about the, well, never mind, I don't talk about dogs. I'm just going to get us into a whole thing. So, I'm just saying, well, never mind. I don't know whether I want to talk about dogs or not. I'm on the precipice here. I was just going to say...
Well, that sounds as bad as T-bills and municipal bonds.
No, I was going to say, do you all have this when you go to, like... I don't know if you guys ever go to, like, a mall or, like, a pet store or something.
I do every so often, yeah.
I do every... Lara takes me and she'll, like, drag me into the pet store at Lloyd Center or something. Do you guys have this where when you go into a pet store and you look at the dogs, and it's always... Because I look at the dogs and I'll look at the rodents. I find the rodents pretty great, too. I don't really care about fish. But rodents I find great, and I like tarantulas, like big creepy creatures, like snakes and spiders, I'll find them great too. But, and I don't care about the kittens, but when you see like the dogs, do you find it like an exact 50-50 split of like cute and depressing? I mean, do you find that to be the case?
I find it more depressing.
I don't know why. I don't know why pet stores are so unbelievably depressing. They just
Well, because
are.
A lot of those dogs...
Well, the dogs are overpriced in the first
well,
place.
Well, that's like $800. Seriously.
They're priced a lot of... I don't know. Like, aren't those where... I mean, I'm not alleging anything, but aren't those...
Puppy
where,
mills?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where they, like, breed the dogs like
I don't
that.
Know. I don't know. I thought that there were laws prohibiting that. I guess there are laws prohibiting... I guess there are laws prohibiting crimes, too, but it doesn't stop the first half hour of our news hour every day from being about guys setting fire to their house.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't really know the answer to that. I mean, I'm kind of glad. I'm proud that we didn't get Max at a store like that, but we got him into it from some, you know, family that was, you know...
One of my dogs came from the Gresham Swap Meet.
Really?
Yep.
Was he on a card table next to some dominoes?
He was in a bird cage with several other puppies.
What?
Yeah. It was a long time ago. I felt sorry for the dog, really.
Well, seriously. You know, people, I swear to God. Aren't you just overcome with just this desire to just to beat people savagely sometimes?
Well, I paid cash, so.
They gave you a discount.
Actually, they did. I offered a check, but they didn't want it made out to anyone.
Of course. Can you make it out to Cash? That's my nickname. My friends, they call me Cash. Please. To be making it up to Cash. No, I just go there and the place just makes me. I mean, the dogs are cute, but it just makes me depressed and angry for some reason. I don't know why.
It was right next door to 5 VHS tapes for $5. And he goes, if there are any problems, bring them back. But I don't see what problems you could possibly have. Great deal. 5 VHS tapes for $5.
And you know that if you go back in 9 minutes, the guy will have folded his tent and stolen away into the night.
Talk about Star Wars.
Let me ask you this, Tim. You're a man who knows things.
I hope so.
You know about
things.
Look at this now. Here's a guy named Jim who says, I'm an exciting stockbroker. What do you bet it's the guy who claims to be a lawyer calling back, claiming to be a stockbroker?
Mm-hmm.
Jim?
Look, Jim, let me tell you what we've got here. On hold. A joke about chicken. A guy says...
That guy has been thinking about that for a few hours.
A comment about the Chinese and the Iraq War. A guy who says he's a stockbroker. And somebody from the coup with a stripper story.
If they don't have a Harry Potter book or a season 3 of Lost, I'm not interested.
Yeah, seriously.
I like the chicken joke, Mike.
Well, we'll get to that in a second then. Let me ask you this, Tim. You know stuff. The CBS News Department is among the finest of its kind.
It is.
So, what do you make of this? Because we meant to talk to Jim Roop about it the other day, but then Laura shafted us out of our appearance with him because she hates us. What do you make of this business in California where they're trying to mandate spay and neutering for all pets everywhere?
How is that possible?
I don't know, but...
They can't even get people to get driver's license and car insurance.
Even when they know where they live. Yeah, Mr. Gonzalez, will you please... Come on, let you stay. Just get a driver's license. Hello? Bob Barker is a big proponent of that. But I guess there's people opposed to it for some reason. So, what is your take?
It's not enforceable.
Okay, but what is your take on the appropriateness of the law? It's whether ridiculous. Or not it's enforceable. Do you believe that? Let's assume for the moment, because I really don't know. This is like the smoking ban. It's one of those things that I really don't know how I feel about it. Let's assume for the sake of argument that it was enforceable. Do you believe it's a good law?
No.
Why not?
Because the people at who it is aimed at will try to continue to skirt the law and cannot afford it.
Now, does it cost to have your dog spayed and neutered? That's not a service the city provides?
No.
I don't know, because the dogs I've got have always been spayed and neutered by the time I got them, or when I was a kid, I was too young to remember how that happened. But
or if you buy a lot of dogs, you don't get the dog's papers unless you give evidence that you have done that. It's usually in the original contract.
So your dog, they don't treat your, it's not like some teenager going to Planned Parenthood. They don't give you a sliding scale where it's like, I'm sorry, can I pay for this procedure with food stamps? And then they just like, you know, they just do it for free.
No.
So you have to pay for that. All right. I don't really know how, because it does seem like that's, you get all the, you know, the stray animals roaming the streets. So I know that Bob Barker keeps pushing that, you know, and remember Bob Barker reminding you to spay and neuter. So it's not required that you do it, but they're trying to, I guess they tabled it. I guess it's not going to happen.
It's impossible to enforce.
It really is impossible. And, of course, just like, and would you agree with this assessment, that the people who most need to spay and neuter their pets are just like the people who need to spay and neuter themselves, and neither of them do it?
Correct.
All right. Because, you know, the people who have 50 kids they can't afford, those are the same people who have a yard full of dogs on twine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Scotty's dog cost $1,000, and he flew it in from Missouri. Really?
Yeah, people do that.
All right. Well, I would just feel like a chump. Not that I don't love my dog. I really do. I love my dog. I'm retarded how much I love my dog. But you know, there's $1,000. I mean, seriously, thank you, no. And Sarah paid. How much you pay for your dog?
Oh, Muppet was a $200 donation.
See, but that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's no way I could bring myself to pay $900.
No.
For a dog. No, I just got nothing. All right, this is retaliation for those people who sent me emails earlier lecturing me about talking about children. Should we get the chicken joke?
You bet.
All right.
I hope it's a good one. We win long enough.
It's probably not going to be that good. Hi, sir, you've got a joke.
Well, thanks for stepping on my punchline there, Rick.
What?
What's the fastest animal in the world?
A chicken.
A cheetah.
An Ethiopian chicken.
What?
Car out.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Well, Ethiopian, that was a lot dumb.
I was just going to say, that was just diminished expectations and yet still underwhelming.
And incomplete screening. It did not indicate it was an Ethiopian chicken joke.
Scotty, you'll be punished later. The Ethiopian jokes, that's like turning back the hand. That's a 1980s thing.
Yeah.
Ethiopian jokes, Sarah probably doesn't remember that. Ethiopian jokes were big in the 80s.
Really?
You couldn't go anywhere without
them. No, Ethiopian jokes were big in the 80s. Because that is the American contribution to culture. Whenever there's some sort of world tragedy, Americans immediately start generating jokes about it. I mean, I can't even... There are people who, as soon as something terrible happens, or some horrible news story, there's a guy who locks the door to his study, and he sits there, and he dims the lights, and he puts on smooth jazz in the background, and he squints his eyes, and he concentrates until he can come up with a crude joke about it that he can then fax around, or now email around to everybody. Like, as soon as the Challenger blew up, there was a whole bunch of guys, like think tanks, sprang up everywhere, you know, to try to come up with Challenger shuttle explosion jokes.
That was before the days of the Internet, though.
Yeah, now those jokes can be spread everywhere. Now those jokes can just flash around. I mean, yeah, as soon as something awful happens, there's some guy who who's come up with a wacky jape about it.
That was back in the days when people would actually go buy Time magazine because they had a picture on the cover.
Yeah, no, that's
true.
That
was the first place that you saw that picture was on Time magazine.
No, the one that they always told in my school because of course, and when you're a kid, when you're like in middle school, you don't really understand what jokes are appropriate and what jokes are hideous. Though this is the joke that every... God, there's my friend... What was his name? My friend Shane used to tell this joke constantly. Constantly. This was his big contribution to the humor quotient at our school. His joke was he would hold up some item from the store that had a barcode, like a UPC symbol on it. He would do this in every single class all year long, never growing tired of it. Shane's big thing was to hold up any item from the store, like a bag of candy that had a barcode on it, and then he would point to it and he would chortle out loud that the barcode was an Ethiopian family portrait. And then he would look around a lot to make sure that everyone got the joke. And then he would sort of laugh wheezingly to himself because, of course, he was a big fat bastard. So there you go. Well, let's take this stripper story. Then we'll come back and we'll talk to this person from Powell's about Harry Potter. By the way, you're listening to KCMB AM Portland. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I got this great story for you.
Is it about a stripper?
Yes, it is.
Does it involve killing her and then dismembering her body?
No, but I'll read the
headline. That's the only kind of stripper story that Sarah likes.
Husband unhappy, former stripper found God.
Is that what you said earlier? We were talking about very bad things?
No, I said I had hated that movie.
Oh, it was the caller who liked that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Don't get that confused.
Was that creepy or hot just
creepy.
Now? I'm sorry. Start again. I wasn't listening to anything you said.
Okay. Husband unhappy, former stripper found God.
I don't understand.
Well, the husband is disappointed that the stripper has converted to the religion.
What stripper? Who? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just saw it on the paper. Look, dear Margot, I recently turned to the Christian religion out of a need to find solace, comfort, and recovery from my past. It has helped me in more ways than I can count, more than any therapy or counseling, and I have come to take it quite seriously. The problem is my husband. I was once a stripper and call girl. Plus, I drank heavily, and ironically, these were the very things that he loved about me.
Of course,
he loved me as a person, but because of my newfound conviction, I informed him that I would no longer engage in pornography, heavy drinking, and partying with our friends. I know this was a shock and hurt to him, and he doesn't know where to go with it. Lately, he has become hostile and making fun of me and encourages our friends to do so.
Please, we're going to kill my wife while you're here.
He claims that I have been brainwashed and I'm no fun anymore. We have been married 10 years and have no children, and I hope to have them soon. But it looks like a divorce is in the cards. Obviously, we should have. Obviously, we shouldn't. I have also had to find another job, and my associates have not been able to handle, quote, what has come over me. Though I am not ashamed of what I want to leave behind, my main concern is that I may have to leave my husband behind also.
And so... All right.
Are you guys drunk?
What?
Are you drunk, sir?
No, but I'm working on it.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Man, if I was drunk, I couldn't read that fast.
Now, that was funny, though. The headline, but the whole story, that's a pretty funny story. What? By the way, let me add, this is Ask Margo? Is this some sub,
that's
dear Abby?
Absolutely, it's at Ask Margo.
What,
yep.
Is this in the Oregonian?
Colombian.
All right. Let me just get it. Does the advice say something like, your husband should love you for who you are, and that includes your religion. If your husband and your religion are incompatible, then you must do what is right for you. Divorce may be painful, but long, smothering, loveless relationship.
Actually, the answer is very short. I think you do know what to do. The problem is your husband married a stripper and call girl, and that person is no longer around.
Yeah.
I think your new choices are commendable and will bring you a satisfying future.
Nah, that's not true. All right, thank you.
That seems like an empty answer to me.
It's true. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Really? All right. That was a weird segment. Hey, Tim's gone. He was just here. All right. Do we have to break?
We do. Did you want to now?
Well, we got the... Hey, Scotty. Wait, before we break.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me...
Good morning, Metolius.
Hi, Scotty.
What's with the crickets?
What do you mean?
That's what I'm asking.
I think you know what's with the crickets. what's up with the Powell's people?
Got to call them.
So are we going to do that next?
We can do it right now after the break, whatever.
Is there anything else that we are obligated to do in this coming hour? We have Tim's News at the bottom of the hour and the Powell's people. Is there anything else we are obliged to do this hour?
Yes.
What?
Take line three.
Now?
Yes.
What's on line three?
What's on line three?
This is good stuff.
What is it?
A couple NASA jokes.
What is with you on the jokes?
I don't know. I'm not calling these people and telling them to call in with jokes. It just happens.
Is this like a whole segment where you want me to do nothing but tasteless jokes from the 80s?
No, but it's just coming out of nowhere. It's pretty funny.
Let's go to, hold on, just while before we do anything else, and then we'll break. www.dictionary.com. What word do you suppose I'm looking up right now? What word might I be looking up at dictionary.com? Screening. Let's see what the dictionary says about the word screening. Screening. Undesirable material being separated from usable material by means of a screen or sieve-like device. You right. are a sieve-like device, Scotty. So, except you're like this sieve with a big hole in it, where everything just sort of comes out the bottom and lands here on top of my computer.
Well, some of the things that you want screened would never get put on if I screened them, so... In other words, we'd never get to hear the NASA joke.
We're not going to hear. Listen to this. Hi, sir, do you have a NASA joke?
Yeah, what's up, Rick?
Bye now. All right, there you go.
See? That's some
you didn't
good
even
ones.
The caller.
That's what I'm saying. See, we're never going to hear the NASA joke now.
That's too bad. Right. It was funny.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I bet you callers are just going to light up the lines now wanting to hear that NASA joke.
Well, lucky we have you to screen them out, don't we? I was just going to derail the whole show. We got to break.
Okay.
Back after this, we'll talk to Powell City Books around the corner about Harry Potter. Later on, Tim Riley returns to the Ministry of Truth and more things. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You know, I put in a bunch of music bands and they haven't come up yet. I'm kind of disappointed. I added a bunch of new music this week and I have heard none of it. Well, what do you do? 503-733-2970. We'll get to Scott, Delane, and some other calls here. We'll get to those. So if you're on hold, hang on just a skosh. We'll get to hear just a few. It's 503-733-2970. And as the publishing event of the decade draws ever nearer, as I wait for the appropriate music bed.
I got distracted by the thing. You know the thing.
Distract him. Yes, I do. I actually do. As I wait for the appropriate bed to become available so that we can play it.
I'm waiting too.
To dramatically introduce our guest. Any second now. Right here. On this radio program. Today. Wednesday. Thank you. You're looking at the buffer, just waiting for it to choke. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Powell's Books. Meredith, hi. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize for the hold there. We were stunningly incompetent just now. I take all the blame. Please don't hold it against me.
I won't.
All right. Are you with the organization in general, or are you with one of the store downtown, the store in Hawthorne? Where are you at?
I'm the store manager for the downtown store.
Excellent. And so I'm not going to go on and on with a bunch of platitudes about the greatness of Powell's. That's sort of a given at this point. But let's talk about the Harry Potter thing. So that is Friday night going into Saturday morning. Friday night at what, 12:01?
12:01. We open up the doors to sell the copies of the book.
Now, obviously, this is not a thing that you would ever do, nor would we encourage this. But what is Scholastic threatening to do to stores who, like, if you break the embargo when you start selling at like 9 p.m., is there a guy who comes and breaks your legs? Or
I think so, because that's the only thing they have to hold against us. It's not like they can't ship, they won't ship the next Harry Potter book.
Right.
And that's what they could do last time. But I think that it would be a huge legal complication. And they're being very, very difficult with us. But that's fine. We can do it.
Do you guys, where, if you can tell us, just sort of in a generalized sense, I mean, where are the books stored? Are they in a warehouse somewhere?
They're in an undisclosed location.
Really? Along with Dick Cheney?
Not even, yeah. Voldemort, Dick Cheney, they're all in the same undisclosed location.
You're going to fit right in on this program. All right, so what? You guys are open till what, 11 o'clock at night?
We're open till 11 o'clock at night, yeah.
And so are you going to, so obviously you'll close at 11.
Close at 11.
And then reopen at midnight?
We're going to reopen at midnight, and during between 11 and 12, we turn the entrance at 11 and Cooch. We have the whole street closed off. We're going to be entertainers from 10 o'clock on with magicians and fire eaters and jugglers and guest appearances. Hagrid has agreed to come.
How cool is that?
Professor McGonagall has come, and Dumbledore is going to make a special appearance as well.
See, anybody who doesn't like this has no soul. Really, anybody who does not find this to be great ought to just be removed from the gene pool right now.
Well, I think it's the most beautiful thing to have this much love for a book.
Well, that is kind of the, and people are probably tired of me saying this now, but that is the thing I have said repeatedly, is especially God, I just sound like every idiot Family Values guy, right, but especially our children. I mean, just the idea of kids lining up at midnight to read an 800-page novel, that's pretty, especially in 2007, that's pretty damn fantastic.
It is really fantastic, and this will be the fourth time we've opened at midnight to throw a party.
And so were the previous times all for Harry Potter? Or
everyone was Harry Potter, yeah, absolutely. And the first one we just kind of did it on a whim. And they just get bigger and bigger each time.
How many books do you guys, if you can tell us, do you anticipate moving maybe out of both locations? Just that one? Do you have any sort of estimate on how many? I mean, you're not going to run out probably, but
No, we're not going to run out the weekend of the event, and we do have some more lined up to come. But, yeah, we had well over 10,000 ordered for the company.
It's unbelievable.
Unheard of for any title. Nothing has come close.
And the next thing I was going to say is, do you think... do you think that you're going to see anything like this again anytime ever?
I hope so. I hope that there's something else. I think that if she continues, if she's not so wealthy that she doesn't need to work again, I'm hoping another magical idea comes into her mind and people will create enough buzz that we can do it again with her next series.
And so is there a limit on the number of copies people may buy?
No.
All right. Oh, good.
Excellent. And is there a...
And if you come down to this store at midnight, we're going to have a special stamp that's going to declare that the book was indeed purchased at midnight at Powell City of Books in Portland, Oregon.
That's so cool.
And then I will smash the stamp when we're done.
Oh, that's wonderful. I do have to say this, that I have, let's see, I think it was for Order of the Phoenix, the thing that I got when I, because I waited in line like a dork at midnight for Order of the Phoenix. I waited at the Powell's on Hawthorne, and the thing you got was a bookmark which was made to look like a ticket for the Hogwarts Express.
Exactly, we don't have that this time, but...
No, it's cool. No, but you know what? Like I said, the stamp that you're giving out this time, that'll go right in my scrapbook or whatever it is, right next to my right next to my Hogwarts Express tickets. So.
Right, exactly, and that's the whole thing. We'll have Platform 9 3/4. We'll magically take the entrance and make it into Platform 9 3/4, and also the entire orange room is going to be made to look like Hogwarts, basically the dining hall with hanging banners. And
that is so cool. And while I got you on the phone right now, I would be remiss if I did not ask this question right now, because we do have a lot of people who listen to Web Kids. There's going to be a lot of, and I'm not going to dwell on the maudlin business of who lives, who dies at the end, but when this book is finished, there's going to be a lot of kids out there who have read or who have maybe discovered reading, and maybe it's the first book they ever really got into, and there's going to be a lot of parents who want to keep that momentum going. Your opinion as somebody who works with books, when a kid finishes this, what would you recommend the parents out there that they maybe kind of steer the kids toward in terms of a follow-up?
Well, it's really going to depend on the age and whether or not the Golden Compass is coming out as a movie this winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's just, I haven't read it yet, but that is a magical, beautiful book. And as a matter of fact, at our stores, there's lists and lists for recommendations for parents to come in and pick out more series for them to get involved in. I mean, it's unlimited how many books they can get involved in.
Excellent.
If they want to do the fantasy. And I should mention that the book will be 30% off that night as well.
Cool. Scotty J, who's our PA here, he will come in here and punch me in the face if I don't ask you about Gabe Kaplan.
Well, that's right. He wants to talk about Gabe Kaplan.
Serious. Let me just tell you this. Scotty failed abysmally at booking Gabe Kaplan on the show, and so he is constantly trying to salve that wound by bringing it up in sort of ancillary conversations. blah, blah, blah. Gabe Kaplan came and talked. I'm sure he was obnoxious and unlikable.
What? No, it was an enthusiastic crowd of people, and all they wanted to do, he wanted to talk about his emails that are in his book, and they just wanted to talk about...
Welcome back, Cotter.
Yeah, welcome back, Cotter, and the television show.
And poker, yeah. All right, excellent. Meredith at Powell's Books, thank you so much, and here's to a huge event on Friday for Harry Potter 7.
And it sounds like I'm going to see you at midnight.
I will absolutely be there.
Absolutely, that's
right.
Fantastic.
Thank you,
I'll
Meredith.
Be the train conductor.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the day. There you go. Meredith from Powell. Scott, if you want to thank her for joining us, that would be fantabulous. Thank you. Well, she was great.
Yeah, she was.
All right, good for her. Let's get a couple of these calls, then we'll get the news with Tim Riley. This is Delana? Delina?
Yeah, Delana.
Delana, what's up? You have a comment about spaying and neutering.
Yeah, it was from like a long time ago. I've been
well,
on the phone.
That's okay. You know what? I'll pretend that it's just as exciting as it would have been half an hour ago.
We got our cat spayed and neutered a long time ago, and... she suddenly went missing, a couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was $300, but then there was, like, this something or other. I saw it on the news, and people were saying it, that this van was coming around. People could get their pet spayed and neutered for free. And I'm like, yeah, right. But then I saw it. Well, I didn't see the van.
So is there a cat napping van or something, or a dog napping van that's going around?
No, neutering and spaying.
Well, I think you have to take your dog to a place. Don't you have to go to a vet? There isn't some guy with a hockey mask that comes around and neuters your pet. I think you got to take it in, right? I would distrust anybody who came by and offered to be a volunteer dog neutering service. That seems like someone you maybe should not leave alone with your children.
Yeah.
All right. Was that all you had today, Delana?
Oh, no, I was wondering, do you know how much the books are actually going to be?
Harry Potter? Well, I would figure...
Is it only hardcover?
It's hardcover, because it's a year between hardcover and softcover. So I would imagine hardcover, it's probably going to be $27, $28, 30% off. That's going to put it at $20. So I'd imagine probably $19.
Ooh, cool.
I mean, I'm just guessing. I don't know. The last one was $27, something like that. And I think if they're 30% off, that makes it, $18. So probably $18, $20. Small
and
price to pay for the experience, in my opinion.
And also, are you going to be there?
I don't know. My wife and I stood in line for the last couple. We stood in line for Order of the Phoenix at Powell's. We stood in line for Half-Blood Prince in my hometown, my godforsaken hometown, because that's where we happen to be. Let me just tell you, here's a little, because I know you waited on hold, I'll favor you with a small, trashy story. So this is how lame I am. So this is what I did the last time the Harry Potter book came out. We were in my hometown. We stood in line, and it seemed like it was in the summertime, too. It seems like it was about 150 degrees out. We waited outside in line, because I think it was in July or June or something. It was literally no joke. It was at midnight. It was still 92 degrees. Waiting in line, got the book. Because there was nothing open in my hometown, which is just a fly speck on the map, we stopped at a 7-Eleven. My wife got a big thing of those, bad squeezy cheese nachos, and I got a huge 7-Eleven Big Bite and a Big Gulp, and we went back to a Motel 6 and sat in the bed and read the Harry Potter book while eating 7-Eleven hot dogs. That was my last experience, so that's where I'm coming from in this life.
Okay, so that is
all right.
Funny.
Thank you, Delana.
All right, bye.
You call us anytime. Bye now. All right, there.
Was that a young-sounding adult, or was it a child?
I don't know. I want to ask. Because she sounded young enough that I didn't want to go, what celebrity do you most... Because I figured
she'd
go...
Yeah, that's creepy. I think she was 12.
A 9-year-old? I don't know. She sounded very nice. But not that it's all about us, but they always... Do you ever get... You get the ones that they sound so sad when the call is done. Like her just now. She just sounded so bereft of hope now when the call was finished. All right, final call, then we'll do Tim, I think, here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I need to defer to your geekdom.
Okay.
On YouTube right now, there's something really strange going on. There's a video marked Amazing Leroy Jenkins Remix.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this?
No.
It goes about 10 seconds into it, and then all of a sudden all these Harry Potter spoilers pop up.
Yeah.
And it is the most viewed thing right now. At 124,000 views. 1,665 comments, and all the comments are positives. None of these, and they're all from different names. I wonder if there's some sort of crazy conspiracy out there of geeks to get average people to, watch and be exposed to these. You know what I'm talking about? It's really strange.
Well, let me just say this. First of all, let me just draw a couple of distinctions here. First of all, whoever it may be that is passing around spoilers, they're not true geeks, because a true geek knows not to spoil.
Oh, okay,
so,
I apologize.
You're right. No, I'm just saying, we should make that distinction right here. A true geek knows not to spoil. I will say that on the Internet, there's any number of, you give a little guy a little power, and they feel powerful. So there's any number of little-brained people out there who are just, going around and spoiling it for others. And that's probably, there are guys who jack up the positive comments on their own YouTube videos, just like there's people who jack up their own ratings on eBay. There are people who jack up their own scores on Halo, through scurrilous means. So it doesn't surprise me. I know that there is actually... Aaron Duran was telling me that there's some sort of a news feed out there that's floating around that, you think it's a news feed for one thing, you download it, you start to play it, and then suddenly about 30 seconds in, Harry Potter spoilers occur. So I would be very leery of those things for the next couple of days. You're going to be seeing more and more of those. And the positive feedback rating on something like that just comes from that guy and his nitwit sexless friends who occupy their week that way.
Okay, because out of, it said 1,600 comments, and they're all different names, nothing is, it's all like, hey, this is the greatest video. Everybody's in on the joke. Or maybe it's just one guy with a whole heck of a lot of time on
his
hands.
There's one guy with no girlfriend and a basement and a DSL connection.
Then everybody, amazing Leroy Jenkins remix on YouTube. Do not see, do not watch if you're, you know, want to keep your wits about you.
Want to stay unspoiled. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you for the tip, sir.
Sure, man.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I've been deleting some of the jackhole comments from my MySpace. And I typically leave the MySpace blog uncensored. But there's a guy like, you know.
Well, it's such a spoiler. Yeah, whatever that douche was that wrote on your page and then
Yeah, and I won't say what they really were, but it was all stuff like, you know, like so-and-so, you know, gets stepped on by a dragon on page 80, and, you know, I'm just deleting all that crap, so.
I know, you actually deleted it for me because I don't want to see the specifics. Yeah. I saw what happened, but.
Yeah, what can you do? By the way, list price for Harry Potter? Damn. To be J.K. Rowling. Man, whoever would have thought? Some single mom writing that crap in a coffee house, you know? 7 books later. $36.
What?
$36.
That's more than Ronald Reagan's diary.
Goddamn.
Wait, so.
That's okay, so.
Is Fred Meyer open 24 hours a day?
No.
Close at 11.
30. You talking about going to Fred Meyer? What kind of Portlander are you? So $36, so 30% off $24.
No, because I remember the 40% off that they're going to have at Fred Meyer, and that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, well, I think Amazon doing that thing again where they're losing money on it? But it's a loss leader, as they say in the business world. Amazon, between the discount they're giving, which is like 40%, and the shipping, which is free, I think, if you pre-ordered by a certain point, Amazon shipping is free, and they're actually losing like $250 per book. It must be nice to be able to lose $250 per book on something you're going to sell 2 million copies of. Because that's like $3 million Amazon is going to lose on that. But the thing is, because they sell it as a package deal, and the people who come to buy Harry Potter typically buy other stuff as well, so that's where they're hoping to make their money. But, yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So apparently, a Vancouver cop was shot in the armpit today. This after trying to deal with that hostage incident. And this guy had a laundry list of crimes a mile long. Of course, this time it included methamphetamine. But the cop has non-life-threatening injuries, even though his condition is listed as serious at this time. Some of the other things going on today. Men may have the power at work, but at home, the women rule the roost.
Scotty.
A new study shows that ladies more likely flex their muscles during arguments, and husbands are more likely to give in.
We're in a culture where we're seeing the power balance in couples shift a little bit as women gain greater foothold in the economic substructure. And I think they can exert that a little bit more in the influence they play in their household in terms of how problems are resolved.
That's Dr. Chris Bay of the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, no, I know. No one told me. Oh, for the love of... No, I don't even want to play it now. Hold on. With the... Where did my clown horn go?
I don't know.
Some life is hard.
That's a funny phrase. Well, never mind. I had this crash the other day, and I had to reload a lot of things. Yes, I know.
It's understandable.
I know, and everybody's sad for my big problems. Save Rack Network. Okay, that won't happen again. That's the last time I'm going to be caught off guard. Okay.
Well, Dr. Scott Bay of the Cleveland Clinic says...
No! Oh, no! All right, there we go. Thank you.
He says, in the home, men have been learning to say yes. It's an easier path to take.
You still probably hear the term henpecked or those other off-putting comments or words that males used to use. But I think there's a far less consequence for being cooperative with your wife.
Steven Tyler's throat surgery is coming to television. Yeah. Footage of the March 2006 operation of the Aerosmith vocal cords will be included in the upcoming National Geographic Channel special, Incredible Human Machine.
This whole thing just sounds so... I think like a lot of people who use their voices for a living, vocal injuries or stories about bad vocals, it actually hurts to read. This is like people who were getting pains while listening to the plunger story earlier. Like when I heard that... There's that, you know, like Bob Seger, I think, got nodules in his vocal cords, and you listen to him sing, and it actually hurts me just to listen to it. So what happened to Steven Tyler's vocal cords?
Well, apparently, he ruptured a blood vessel in his voice box.
Oh, see, just hearing that. God damn, that just sounds unpleasant.
But, I mean,
Jesus.
It was good for him. I mean, if he went to rehab, nobody would care. Aerosmith had been on the road at the time, and the singer's condition had sparked numerous concert cancellations. Remember that? Because it was this big secret thing, nobody was talking about it. This is before the band officially scrapped the last 6 weeks of the tour.
After the successful surgery, Taylor had to remain quiet for 2 months. He made a full recovery and has been back on the road ever since.
Ugh. All right. That's just unpleasant.
Universal Studios, Back to the Future, the ride will soon become a thing of the past. The attraction will ride up into the sunset September 3rd. It's being closed to make way for the introduction of Universal Studios' new attraction based on the Simpsons television series. It'll open next spring. Back to the Future, the ride debuted, believe it or not, 1993.
I haven't been to Universal Studios but once, and that was when I was a little kid. So I
went in eighth grade.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wait, Tim, have you been to Universal Studios recently?
No, I used to work in that big, tall building in front of it, though.
I wonder if it's any good. I wonder if it would hold up. Disneyland didn't hold up for me. I went to Disneyland, and I found it to be kind of a letdown as an adult. I wonder if Universal Studios would still be cool. I mean, really, the only thing I'd want to see there is, all I remember is the Jaws thing, and I remember seeing the Bates Motel. But I told this story, but the Bates Motel had been all revamped because they were trying to make some brand new series out of it. Yeah, whatever.
And to mark the ride's departure, Universal Studios will give away a rare 1981 DeLorean.
By the way, Sarah, QFC is open till 1 a.m. and is selling the book for 40% off.
You weren't supposed to read that on the air.
Oh. Well, too late now.
Is that true?
No, it's not. Who buys a book at QFC?
I will.
Borders has a Harry Potter 40% off. So there you go. Apparently it's 40% off everywhere. They must just all be using this as a loss leader to try to get people in to buy other stuff. Kind of like how I went into CD Game Exchange to look for one thing, and I ended up blowing, you know, like $50 on like 7 different DVDs there. So there you go. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How might ye favor us today?
Hey, Rick, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, I just have a question. My girlfriend and I just got, through her work, 2 Fergie tickets, and neither of us really care about, you know, going to see her next Tuesday.
Did you pay for these?
No, they were free.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. What do you think I could sell them for? I mean, what are they worth? I don't know anything about Fergie or how popular she is. I just kind of know who she is.
Well, I wonder how much do those tickets sell for, Sarah? How much a ticket to see Fergie sell for?
Are you asking me that?
I'm not. Yes, with your. I'm just saying.
With my extensive Fergie knowledge.
I am. Well, what I'm saying is, if she's at the Crystal, she's, I would say, you know, we never did have the discussion about A, B, and C list celebrities, but I mean, she's, you know, a reasonably popular figure in music these days.
I'm looking at online on Craigslist, 2 Fergie tickets, $500.
That's crap, especially because it's general
severely
admission.
Severely underpriced.
Especially because it's general admission. There's no way that they would be worth that much.
It looks like the typical prices they're selling for like around $30 a piece.
Each? So, yeah, so you probably, if you've got 2 of them, if you want to make sure they sell, make a little money, you probably sell them 2 both for $50. You probably sell those right away for $50.
Well, I saw someone on Craigslist has got 4 of them listed for like $900.
I can't. Who would? Seriously, who cares that much about Fergie? Honestly,
that's what I'm asking.
I can't possibly. Met Scotty is typing on the screen. I wouldn't mind seeing Scotty. Do you wish to buy his Fergie tickets? Do you care that much, Scotty? Are you willing to lay down? I'm not even sure that legally we can have you do it through this phone call. But I guess here's what I would do. I wonder how much.
Oh, I saw somebody on Craigslist. It's their daughter's 16th birthday, and they really want to go, but they don't have a lot of money.
Which
is probably
well, if they don't have a lot of money, you can't do much of anything.
Right? I can't imagine. I mean, it can't be sold out. There's no way. There's no way that show will sell out.
The thing is you can't buy the tickets. It's a promotional thing that Verizon's putting on, so the tickets are for sale. You can only.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. See, I like Sarah. I don't necessarily follow Fergie's career as closely as some. So if you can't buy these tickets,
I was wondering if the exclusivity of getting tickets would, you know, jack the price up a little.
Well,
bit.
If that's the case, that would explain somebody trying to unload them for $900 on Craigslist. That's pretty interesting, actually. Do me a favor, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Just stay right there for a second. We'll look this up.
Okay.
Craigslist. Let me just do this right now. Let's see. Fergie, and then we'll do some more news here in just a second. Fergie. Let's see. Do I just go to first sale?
Yeah, just type it in on the left side.
All right, and then hit the enter and so forth. Let's see. Here we go. Oh no, I got nothing. Oh, this is I'm looking at San Francisco. Hold on.
Props to San Francisco. Right when you first get on there.
Yeah. Oh, with their San Francisco value, Fergie.
Send them to gethighonlife@hotmail.com.
Here we got $475, $950, $500, $250, $100 each, Somebody offering 75, somebody offering 300. You know what? Here's my just my advice, sir. We've suddenly become the Clark Howard show. My advice to you is to go on Craigslist, and I would start high, man. Start like I would pick the highest number you see them going for, and start at that, and then you can always ratchet it down as you get closer.
All right.
Yeah, and meet them at like a at a neutral territory. Don't invite them over to your house.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, meet them at like a Starbucks. Yeah, don't let them know where you live.
All right. I'll see how much scratch I can get for them, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, please. Yeah, keep us in. I would like to know how much you can unload these for. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you later.
There you go. That's Jake. Fantastic. All right, here's Tim Riley.
No more nudity, at least not for the next 30 days. That's what town officials in the free-spirited town of Brattleboro, Vermont, had decided in light of growing complaints about public displays of nudity. They voted last night to oppose a temporary ordinance that prohibits people from bearing it all in public. Local residents point to one recent example where a senior citizen from Arizona was spotted walking through town wearing just sandals and a waist pad.
Why is it always senior citizens? Why?
Well, the ban means any public nudity except skinny dipping, nude sunbathing, or breastfeeding. You get fined $100 if it happens.
Yeah.
Don't let it happen to you.
No.
That's that.
Ah, well, all right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all the world. Back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour, all the way through Lycus. Hey, Scotty, what happened to Mr. Skin today? What's that about? Did you just fail to plan and plan to fail with that one?
So Scotty's just not able to... So Peter Carlin won't return his calls. Mr. Skim won't return his calls.
Scotty says, I blew it. Send an email. All right. Well done, Scotty. Jesus. That's fantastic. All right. 503-733-2970. We'll take a break here. We'll come back after this with nothing in particular. Lycus at 3, Don and Mike at 7. We'll go anywhere. We return after this to the Rick Emerson radio program. Some things you just can't put in the minds of those kids. As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs want to see how much you hate. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up next, we got Lycus and the Donna Mike at 7. Join us tomorrow when our guests will include Carl Click from K2's Morning News Program, whatever that might be called. Let's, before we do anything else.
Daddy J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Hello, Scotty J.
Hello.
All right, so the... What were you doing just there?
I don't know.
Were you doing a funny voice?
No.
Okay.
He was being kooky.
Let's ask you the magical question. Have ye smoked today?
No, I have not.
Have you smoked since last Tuesday?
No.
So you are now at over a week.
I am still patched up.
All right. Okay. Now, how long are you supposed to
keep... Do you swear that you have not smoked since last Tuesday?
I swear. Why would I...
You averted your eyes just now.
You did.
You averted your eyes. You looked to the left.
And you did it again. You just did it again.
No, I have not. Why would I be on this program? Why would I be putting the patch on every day?
How long are you supposed to keep wearing the patch every day?
I think it's a month.
Okay.
So that's how many they give you anyway.
So you are pledging to us as a man that you have not smoked since.
That is correct.
And you look at, you know, you can't keep eye contact. Every time you say it, you look away. Every time you say it, you look somewhere else.
Okay.
That's pretty suspect.
All right. I'm just saying. Well,
you know, we do have somebody coming in tomorrow, so we should
what happened
to
the guy today? Is what I was wondering.
What's that?
What happened to the guy that was supposed to be
on the that day? Is Bob. So I think the deal is Deacon is coming tomorrow, and I think we're going to work with Bob for Friday. That's my fault. I miscommunicated with him. So tomorrow and Friday. And then tomorrow, of course, Carl Click from K2 as well. All right. Vegas, Scotty, we want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Dick Giuliano, Ed McCarthy, and Steve Kastenbaum, as well as Meredith from Powell's City of Books. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. at the gate. Keepers, Dave Zinn. Tomorrow we will be joined by Carl Click from K2 and a cast of thousands as well. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind it down. Do try to help the retarded and watch out for spoilers. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.